Yeah, we're back with Joel Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to this big show, Joel Radio, for Memorial Day weekend. We hope you have a good one. Joel Fragamenti here with you. Corey Hall back as usual. Yep. How you doing there, Mr. Hall?
Shalom.
And you're being joined today by John Tenney.
Hello.
The great John Tenney. You got to turn your mic up a little more. There you go.
No, no.
I turned your mic up to the level.
One hand clapping for John Tenney.
One, two hands. Now six hands.
Wow.
Yowza! So John is here. John, of course, on Paranormal State, the new class, coming soon to a television near you. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
You know, it's TV. I don't know what they do or how it works.
I don't know either. All I know is it aired. We played it.
All I know is that stuff gets filmed and then they don't do anything with it.
Right.
The last episode, there was an episode on May 2nd.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, and they didn't run one commercial for it.
Huh.
Wow.
So they kind of snuck it on there.
Yeah.
That's good. That's nice to know that you put your heart and soul into
something. Yeah, and they put it on
and they
after
do no fanfare.
You know, there's
for it.
The show it spun off from, Paranormal
right.
State. They mm-hmm. put our next episode on after the series finale.
Oh, okay. Well, they're trying to get people into your show.
Yeah, but people watch the series finale and then turn the channel.
That's true. They had their fill at that
point. Yeah, well,
point.
They didn't. They thought
there
it's
weren't
done.
Promos.
It's done. There's no promos.
Meanwhile, I see a promo for Swamp People every 30 seconds.
There's so many.
They love swamps.
Wacky
Swamp People.
People love swamps.
That's how fucked up this country's gotten.
Well,
there's a taxidermy show.
There is, yeah.
There's a show about taxidermy in Alaska.
No. Mm-hmm.
How sad is your life?
There's a show about a guy who does taxes and has dermatitis.
No, that's good, too.
Well, I told you there was the balloon artist reality show. I think that didn't last.
Shut up.
But a couple weeks.
Shut your
there
mouth.
There was the deep fryer guy.
There was a deep fryer
you
guy.
You remember seeing that one? Fry
no.
King?
No,
there
I don't think I saw the fry.
Reality show of a
really?
Guy going around deep frying like a, we want our wedding cake deep fried. I can do
no,
it.
No, the balloon, it was called the Unpoppables. And it
get
was,
the shit out of here.
And my girlfriend, like, she saw them interviewed on Regis and Kelly or something. And she goes, I want you to tape that for me. And we come over and watch it. And you know, it was like every other reality show where, you know, somehow they have to get this done and there's only 12 hours to do it.
Right.
And it's up, it's, you know, they're up against it. It's like, down to the wire.
I think the Food Network had a show, they were promoting a show that was like extreme ice carving.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, the chainsaw crew is going to carve up, they're going to make this swan in just 10 minutes.
They just had a marathon of cupcake wars.
Yeah.
Now, see, I mean, there's no shortage of stuff.
I was more interested in the fact that you brought up Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, why
was
not?
It
have you watched that lately?
Not, I turned past it, but
he is incoherent.
I hate Regis.
No, he is.
John, I'm glad you said
everyone
that.
Everyone is Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who it is. He's got Ryan Seacrest with him, and he's, hey, Tony, when the last time when you and Michelle Obama Pfeiffer and Jeff Daniel Bridges, and that's it. And then Kelly laughs it off, and he's doesn't even know where he's at.
Let me ask you this. When's he leaving? Because now it's
he's
like,
announced he's leaving. I think he's leaving before the end of the
Do you remember when guys would just get fired from television shows?
Yeah, I know.
And now it's like Glenn Beck is leaving sometime.
Yeah.
Right? They announced he's leaving. Regis announced he's leaving, and he's still on.
I don't want to pop balloons in your theory, but yeah. Mary Hart just signed off from Entertainment Tonight.
She did. She had a big.
Sorry. Well, I'm sorry if you missed that, but
Katie Couric finally just
yeah, she
she's
left
gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she had like announced I don't know a month before
sure.
and then left.
And Mary
Regis
announced, has about a month left on the Today Show.
Regis announced in like February he's leaving.
Was
and he's still on?
Was Carell fired from the office or did he leave?
He left. Yeah,
because
he left.
Wants to do movies. Yeah.
He wants to do movies.
Have you watched any of those?
We watch. In fact, that's something we meant to talk about. Let me write that. On
okay,
our,
add that to the.
Let me
agenda.
Write that on the agenda because as of 2 days ago, I hadn't seen the last three episodes of
All
The
right.
Office, but as of today, I have.
Okay,
so. Joel's up to speed.
And you're up office. To speed on The Office,
thanks to the magic of the DVR.
Yeah, and the magic of my girlfriend going out of town for a week. And
remember
I,
when you missed
getting
shit
to watch
on television,
and yeah. then you never saw it.
Right. You never saw it.
I missed so much stuff for the first 25 years of my life.
Right.
Because you would have to wait for
well,
it to come into syndication.
But I actually feel
and
that
we didn't even get a programmable VCR until probably
87.
No, probably 84 for that. But right. still,
well, I'm 80. Saying my family.
Some people didn't. Yeah, right. I mean, but the technology existed.
I mean, our grandpa, but, like gave everybody VCRs.
We had one of those VCRs like in 86 where. If you looked at a TV guide next to the show, it said like 14692.
Oh, and you punched the number
punch that
in,
into your VCR,
and then because that was convenient.
And then you left a tape in your VCR, and you had it turned on to that channel.
To that channel, and it would
but
go.
Even then, you know, sometimes when you'd program it, it only worked maybe 2/3 of the time.
It wouldn't
actually tape the right
for
thing.
For a long time, yeah. I had DirecTV, the original sort of 2D, you know, the standard definition DirecTV, which was great at the time, right?
Yeah.
And it had a little thing that plugged into the back of the box that would change the channel on your cable box.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little, like, IR blaster that would automatically change the channel for you.
Those are so good, by the way. If you get those, and you put some Easy Cheese on them, those IR blasters.
Yeah, it was.
From the Dairy Queen?
Yeah,
so good.
But what it would do is it would work as your remote, and it would change the channel for you.
Well,
as you set a recording, it would change it, but sometimes it didn't work. And
when I was little, we had on television.
Yeah, I remember that, sure.
Where they would just come out,
that,
they
yeah.
came out, and they would just put an antenna on top of your house, yeah. and then channel 20 at, like, 9 o'clock.
It would go scramble.
Would
and your box would unscramble.
And then
it.
Apple Dumpling Gang.
You'd watch on TV.
Yeah.
Now, I remember they would have.
That's what you. It's the best
it
part.
It was great.
They'd have like a Tiger game once in a while.
They would have about 2 Tiger games a month.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it would be like.
Apple
It would be like, you know, it would be like second run movies. It
yeah,
would be,
Apple
you know,
Dumpling
stuff
Gang, Peaks Dragon. They always do a kid's movie.
John, stuff was that was in the theaters, you know, 6 months to a year ago.
What was the Tim Conway. Masterpiece. They were like detectives in,
ooh,
in like Sherlock Holmes time.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what
this was. Also,
it was Harvey Korman.
It was like Don Knotts and Tim Conway again.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that in the theater. This must have come out about 82.
Yeah, I do. I remember that movie. Sure,
what
I can't remember
that?
What that was
God.
Called.
Well, that's what we to the internets.
To the internet.
To the internet.
We can do that. Look at that's the level of technology we
What's
have.
What's the
now.
Level that I'm recording the show?
That we can find this answer?
That we can find the answer. Because I'll tell you what. Wait, I just had a discussion with this about someone. It drives me fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People think that I am a fucking genius because I can search for stuff on the internet. No, people send me questions and they go, hey, do you remember the name of the guy in Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, hold on a minute. And then I Google
it. Scared Stiff?
The movie was The Private Eyes.
The Private Eyes.
And let's see. Amazon has this. Well, I actually think this might be a rare movie because to order the, is this the DVD version of it?
Was that 1981?
Pirate Bay has
it. It was 1981. It's $21 right now. So it's actually.
Blu-ray?
This is the DVD,
is that
not 3D? The Blu-ray. It's not in 3D. Do you want to talk about that now?
Most stuff is not in 3D.
Most is not in 3D.
Unfortunately, there's not a lot of 3D, but they're releasing movies.
I'm just saying, I remember as a kid, there was stuff that would come on TV and you didn't see it,
but
and you were mad about
there's
it.
There's an argument.
You had to wait for it to go into syndication.
What was the show with Jeff?
Can I just say this, though, before? There's an argument that back then it made more people watch because there wasn't another opportunity to see
right.
it. That it made for event TV, unlike today, where there really isn't such a thing because
while
stuff will be on DVD 6 months
while later. While you're on there, why don't you look up Jeff Conaway, the nearly late Jeff Conaway.
Yeah, because you know what? Because I don't give a shit. That's why. I'm not going on the Jeff Conaway road. I don't care.
No, I'm saying there was
I know.
Do you
he's
remember
almost
he,
dead.
He had a like wizard. He had like a Dungeons and Dragons show. John, do you remember this?
I kind of remember that, but
it was like Wizards and Warriors or something.
And you were a big fan of that?
I can't remember.
Well, look, you got to go down his filmography.
Well, it's more than you might think. Could it have been?
Early 80s.
That's television, though, you're
television,
saying.
Early 80s. Probably IMDb would be
God, would it be? I mean, this is it.
What was it called? Like Wizards and Warriors?
I don't know.
I'm not seeing any. Wizards and Warriors.
Wizards and Warriors. And I remember it was on CBS on like Saturdays.
Now was that show spun off from the Tom Hanks Mazes and Monsters?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was the one where Tom Hanks took angel dust. Thought he was a warlock.
Yeah. Right, they only made 8 episodes of that.
Okay, when I was a kid, I remember seeing the promo for it, right?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, next week on Wizards and Warriors. And I remember being like, whatever, 8 and being like.
Well, Julia Duffy was a co-star, so she was hot.
Oh, yeah. I remember just Julia being Duffy. Freaked out, excited to see it, and I missed it.
And you'll never see it again.
And most of the episodes were directed by Bill Bixby, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, good work.
I remember seeing a couple of them, and then, you know, you're a kid.
Man, was Bixby was a star, yeah, wasn't
he? Trivia note. Most of the battle scenes were extra footage from the feature film Excalibur.
Wow.
Now, that's an unsighted Wikipedia thing, but it's a possibility. If it didn't have a budget, why not?
Shit was so bad back then. I watched a movie the other night called Galaxy of Terror that was on cable. I
kind of remember that film.
This was Robert Englund was in this. Ray Walston from My Favorite Martian.
Maybe not.
And Aaron Moran from Joni Loves Chachi fame. And it was like a knockoff of Alien. It was like a kind of a ripoff of several different sci-fi movies, but it was like a kind of a haunted house in space where they went to this planet and they all saw their worst fears. And there was a bald dude who had crystal knives.
Not a John Carradine film, is it?
No, no. But this is from the early 80s.
This is a Roger Corman flick? Or something in that
genre. Pretty cheap. But like...
They have that on 3D?
They do.
Then you're sold on 3D, John. Not so much.
It actually came out on HD DVD, so you have to go out and find an HD DVD player.
It is.
And hook that up to your Betamax, and then
can you still buy VCDs?
It's on Laserdisc. VCDs were big in like Asia.
Yeah, I have some.
You do? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I had
in Asia.
My old roommates, and I've had many, many roommates. I had probably 10 roommates in the time I was living with people. Couple of them had massive fortunes invested in their Laserdisc collections.
I did as well.
And a couple of them worked at a video store. And I remember one of the guys just being violently opposed to DVD.
Yeah, there was some opposition.
Mostly because he had $4,000 or $5,000 worth of Laserdiscs and all the special.
And you had to buy them again.
The Criterions and the doubles. And he was like, they're never going to get all that information on one little disc. It's ridiculous. It's like a CD.
I have
compression's going to be terrible.
I have a couple Laserdiscs that I bought when nobody knew what was going to happen.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, these films are going to vanish, and no one will ever find out that they are public domain films, and you buy them at the dollar store now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. I got
what you have, Navy
saying.
Versus the Night
Monster?
Well,
give us an example of
it. Things like This Land Is Mine with Charles Laughton.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The public domain film. You go to a dollar store.
It's on DVD.
Yeah. And I bought it on Laserdisc because this is once it's gone, who will ever, how will
you know,
ever
you know how they made that
again?
DVD, too? They took that Laserdisc and put it in and transferred it to a DVD. Yeah.
God, and those Laserdiscs, and I never has a technology failed quick. Like, VCR.
No.
VCRs hung around for a while.
No, the problem with Laserdisc is it was around for a very long time, but it never caught on.
No, I'm saying when the DVD came in.
Well,
the DVD crushed Laserdisc so quickly.
Yeah, but
you put a Laserdisc in
was it took longer than you might think.
Yeah, but you put a Laserdisc in and then put a DVD in.
DVDs
and the
came out
was such hot garbage.
But you know what's crazy? For as hot as DVDs are, you have Blu-ray and 3D DVDs and all this stuff. What's amazing is when you look at it and you realize that it is a CD and you realize how dead CDs are now.
Yes. Right?
It's crazy that that's still what
we
figured out.
Well, there are people that would say that that's not that's true, and that Blu-ray, no format will ever have the market, whatever. It will never have the what DVD did, where everybody had a player and everybody bought movies and everybody rented movies on DVD. That probably will never happen again. Blu-ray, even though it's a better
VCR
technology,
everybody had,
right? But DVD was even bigger than the VCR when it came to people buying them. Because remember, in the VCR days, that videotapes were largely sold at a rental pricing. They were about $100 to buy a videotape,
right?
For many, many years. And what they did eventually, like some things would be released later as a retail that you could buy it,
right?
But because the studios were afraid of losing, if people bought the movies, they would lose this revenue stream.
Remember how excited
it was rental?
How excited you would get when you would find a VCR tape.
Yes.
Like a movie that you could buy, and it was like $10.
It was $10.
And you were like, holy crap, I don't care what it is. I'm buying it.
You could buy stuff.
And welcome back. And on next week's show, we'll talk about Werther's Originals. And,
kids on my lawn.
Remember that Victoria Principal? She was a real
knockout. Well, the point, though, is that John is right in that. The new technology is streaming, which already exists, which most, but not everybody has, and it just takes,
Well, we don't have the same mass consumer culture that we once did. I mean, I think everybody's buying flat-screen TVs because they're going to be an option.
Yes.
But, you're right, in terms of one technology that everybody bought, everybody at one point had the same stupid phone.
Yes.
This country was essentially communist when it came to phones in the early 70s, right? Yeah. Some wacky joker would have the Mickey Mouse phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the hamburger phone.
Right.
Right. There'd be
you
that
had a
some,
black or a beige phone.
Right. And they were all the same goddamn phone from Bell. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents had the same phone for most of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone.
Some people still own that phone.
I had that phone in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And the old house in Ferndale.
But here's the question. When obviously, everyone has different phones. That's where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break down to this. When are we just getting rid of DVD players and DVDs?
That's about 5 years out of here.
Well,
gone. Yeah.
When do you just buy a TV that has probably a hard drive in it?
Right.
And you just stream and download stuff into your TV.
Turn around. I'll stream whatever movie you want.
I'm
right
saying.
Now. I'll stream.
Popular...
I can do that right now.
It's starting
now.
No,
you can do that right now.
But I'm saying it's a matter of
Jim
having...
Bob Joe Roger in, you know, most on the cheap.
Most TVs now have a plug in them. You can put a...
Mine still plays videotapes.
Wow. That's fine. I mean, I don't know.
You got what, a VCR combo?
Yeah, I got a combo TV, 13-inch.
See, I have... Right, look, on. John, if you turn around, you'll see...
John, by the way, now John... It likes
my TV has...
Yeah, Facebook.
I can pull up YouTube.
Is that in 3D?
No, Facebook is not in 3D.
No good, no, then.
But
pull
I have
up, you got
junk.
Netflix.
I have Netflix.
Get a new one.
Video on demand on my television.
The answer to your question, John, is it's already here, and it will be...
It's just a matter
fairly
of...
Fairly acceptable in the next three
I mean, it's
years.
Just when do people accept the technology, and some technologies will fail. Like, Laserdisc was never accepted, but DVD was because it was convenient and less expensive.
Okay, literally a girl I went to high school with on Facebook the other day was like, hey, tech support question. I'm having problems with my IE9.
Yeah.
And everybody responded to her thread, well, the problem is you're running fucking Internet Explorer.
Yeah, people.
And they all dumped on her, and I got on there and went, get Firefox, what's wrong
yes.
with you? And then people were like, get
are you,
Chrome.
Are you looking
are
at
you
the
moron?
6-day forecast on... You don't care. John doesn't care.
I can't talk about weather.
Yeah.
Okay. My crawl space is flooded for like a week now.
Oh, really? Well, that's I got water in the basement.
Disaster.
Yeah, yeah, I got a little bit. I don't get a flood, I get a little bit.
Those kids on my lawn!
But what I'm saying is some people will never get the technology.
No, but...
This girl wouldn't even know that IE was not what she should have been
But the
running.
Point is that what happens with technology is they make these things that... people want, or at least they think people are going to want. The ones that people actually want, like DVD, will get adopted and will become the standard. And these other things, whether they're better or worse technology, may or may not get adopted because people don't feel the need for them or they don't feel like that's something they want.
Do you feel, I know this is a comedy show.
Sure. Oh, it's hilarious. So
it is hilarious.
Holy
shit!
Put this one in the vault.
But here's my question.
The yucks are shooting out of my nose.
You were showing us... 3D a 3D football game.
Yes, I
and
do have. I recently purchased a 3D television.
You were
yes.
mentioning the quality looks kind of crappy, but it's in 3D.
Well, it's you make a compromise.
Now that's where my question
sure,
is going.
Yes.
Right.
Uh huh.
We now have had the digital transition.
Yes.
Where if you watch normal television, which I don't have cable TV.
Okay. Yes.
I just watch regular 247. Right.
Right. But you have a converter box or something at this point. Yes.
I do.
So that sort of kicked you.
Here's the thing. Every digital thing that I've ever seen, it looks like fucking junk. I don't care how much people tell me it's 100, 1080p,
yes.
and this HD, and this HD fucking cameras look like junk.
No, that's not true.
HD television looks like fucking junk. I've never, when I was watching analog television, I never had it glitch and had to watch someone for 3.5 seconds.
Well,
and that's acceptable because the rest of it looks good the rest of the time. I never had to fucking do that.
Well,
the
rest
of the time.
People's TVs were snowy and you couldn't get ghosts.
John has
stuff.
A point in that, like for the last 2 or 3 weeks, pardon the interruption on ESPN. We'll just glitch.
Okay.
It'll break up a little bit.
Sure.
It'll pixelate.
It doesn't do it on my TV, but that's...
I don't know what it is,
that's your
whether it's
cable,
my cable.
Cable
but,
provider.
Like, it's only that channel.
Right.
Only ESPN and only some of the time.
Well...
And I'm going, it's either a transmission problem from the... But...
Yeah, it's
you're
not
right. Occasionally they'd put up the fucking, we're having technical difficulties, and it'd be the picture of the guy in a cloud of smoke in cartoons with stars coming off. And you know... Like there'd be that. There'd be major screw-ups. But you're right in terms of, you know, the old school.
But, John, what's the solution? I mean, the solution is to stay with the technology that...
works.
Well, I mean, but it's not
the phone worked. That old stupid phone.
You know what? Landlines are better than cell phones.
Exactly. And you know one of the reasons that is because, you know, when you talk on a regular phone, like I was listening to a podcast, they were talking about this, about how why it's annoying, why people are annoying on their cell phones. And it's because on a real phone, they actually feed your own voice back into your ear.
Right.
That there's a little talk back that you hear. On a cell phone, they won't do that, I guess, because of the battery life of the phone.
Right.
So when you're talking into it, it's like you're talking, you know.
Well, we're getting,
it's not the same thing. You can't hear
yourself.
More
flash and poorer quality. MP3s don't sound as good as CDs on a good stereo.
Right, but people say CDs didn't sound as good as vinyl.
Because which, they're assholes. But
right. Okay. But that there's part of that.
But they really do. I've listened carefully on MP3s and CDs, and they're right. The CDs sound richer and fuller. And then if you want that warmer kind of old-fashioned sound,
the
vinyl sounds better.
This is the argument that people will make, though. If it is more convenient and better quality, at least on some surface level better quality, that people will consume more of it.
I think that people
will, they will make the people that are producing the content want it to be in the best quality and the most convenient because people will consume it more and therefore they'll make more money.
I think you know. I am a conspiracy theorist.
Cassette sounded like monkey shit, though.
Okay, but I mean, we're doing podcast.
But
this is a digital technology.
Yes.
The analog equivalent of a podcast would have been like ham radio, which means if I had
radio.
Okay, but if I had a ham radio antenna on my roof instead of an internet connection,
then you would have had to have awesome, great programming.
But, no.
Because if you could just make it cheap and easy to do, then every fucking person would have a podcast, and you wouldn't know what to listen to.
Nobody can get a ham radio. That's why people didn't do ham radio.
Right, because you needed money and talent.
But no one would listen to it.
And you needed money and talent.
This is a fine show.
Back in the 30s, they had crystal set radios that kids would like make and stuff.
Right,
you know?
But I'm saying this technology allows people in Australia and Germany to listen to the show. So that's why me and Corey are producing a show there because people, and you produce podcasts.
Absolutely.
But people would not be able to hear those without this technology.
What was the weirdest place you ever got feedback from the oddest?
I get more from Realm of the Weird.
Okay, Realm of the Weird. Where's the where do people contact?
The Netherlands.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Didn't we get one from like Iceland one time?
Yeah, we got Iceland and Japan and all this. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know,
I think people are being duped into cheaper, less quality technology by being told that it's new and better, and they're becoming more and more accepting of crap.
I kind of get your point. I will never. Now, this Joel has a 50-inch ridiculously large television. And John being the Luddite that he is at heart, is like, screw this. I'm going to drink a cup of coffee and drive a Lincoln Continental. But
if only that were true.
I know.
My car was made in the 2000s.
John used to have it on a nice old boat. But I lost my point somewhere along the way.
No, but the argument you're making is that things aren't as good as they used to be. On some level.
Okay. I will never want to watch. This is what a big TV is great.
Yes.
I will never want to watch a movie on my phone.
Not at all.
No matter what.
Okay.
If I'm on a fucking plane, I don't want to watch a movie on my phone.
But here's the thing, too. I think that.
I have Netflix on my phone.
I embrace some technologies.
Sure.
And I think that is what America is being trained not to do, is walk a middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
America is being trained to like new, like emerging, like fresh.
The EPK,
everything else gets thrown away.
But it's because they can distribute these things much more easily.
But I'm saying on every level.
But again, it's about the people that are creating the content. That's what you're missing in this argument.
What kind of cameras do they use to shoot your show, John?
I mean, a lot of them are just regular Sony HD handycams.
Okay.
So,
I'm just wondering.
But I'm just saying, you know, like Corey, you know, you're a movie critic, and movie screening technology is much better than it used to be.
Well,
are the movies?
If you go to the
The movies aren't.
That's what
the
I'm talking about.
Movies aren't, but the
but
technology.
That's what I'm talking about. People are
seeing
the new technology.
A blockbuster nowadays is much better than, you know, most of us watch Star Wars in mono in all likelihood.
And it blew our fucking minds.
It did.
And then people watch it on HD with a lot of new shit at Phantom Menace, the new three films, and they're fucking terrible.
You know, that's the fault of the technology.
That's contextual.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars blew our minds because before that we were watching fucking Buck Rogers and shit.
Planet of the Apes would have been
Planet
the highest
of the Apes
level
high
of sci-fi.
By the way, Planet of the Apes.
Logan's Run was the highest budgeted film before Star Wars.
Planet of the Apes still looks fucking great, by the way.
It looks great.
I don't give a
absolutely
shit.
Right, okay.
There's occasional parts of it where you'll see, if you're watching it on HD television, you'll kind of see where some of the extras aren't dressed as well, and you'll see like a zipper, and you'll see like
some of the mouths don't move.
You'll see the feet
well
are clearly shoes that they're wearing and not monkey feet. You know what I mean? Like, but it's a great looking movie. You know what I mean? It's a
John, the ultimate, even if you agree with you, I mean, there are people that would just say, I don't care that these things were better because it's more convenient. I have this breadth of programming that I can watch. And, you know, you can put up your rabbit ears and watch TV, or you can actually get 200 channels, and some people want that.
I agree. I
so
think
that, there you go.
But I mean,
when are they going to kill over-the-air television? That's what I want to know.
They shouldn't, because actually, believe it or not, now that there are people who are purists about over-the-air television.
Yeah.
Because when you get cable, your HD signal is compressed.
Right.
So if you get it over the air, you're actually getting the purest signal, believe it or not.
People like crap.
And there are people who have antennas. Well, I like my girlfriend.
Well, here's one thing that's lost. Back in the 80s when you missed television, you would get crazy signals that you'd pick up on your TV.
Yeah, occasionally, you would get.
You'd get, because we were near Canada.
Yeah.
So we'd get not only CBC9, mm-hmm, but occasionally we'd pick up stations from Ottawa.
Or London or something.
Or
yeah.
London, Ontario, yeah, or Toronto on a good day. And I remember watching the Fantastic Four cartoon, the Hanna-Barbera Fantastic Four cartoon, in French as a kid, going, I don't know what they're saying, but it's the thing.
But you loved it.
Right? You know, you're like, oh,
but
it's
don't
cool.
You think today a kid will just go on YouTube and say,
exactly,
I watch. And but that, to him,
they're
that
fucking
sense of
spoiled little bastards.
But that sense of exploration.
Everyone is. That's what I'm trying to say.
John,
here,
my point is that the sense of exploration that Corey is describing still exists, but it's just manifests itself in another way.
But no, it comes instantly.
It does.
No,
but it does.
No, I don't think
no,
so at
it
all.
Does.
What happens is that everyone has a billion things to look at, a billion things to listen to, so mm-hmm, they do it all for a fraction of a second. Then they think they know about it. There's no appreciation for it because I'll look it up right now. Then
no
they see
idea
it and they go, fuck it, and it's
that
dumb, and they go on to the next thing. They give something 3 seconds. They'll watch a great film for 2 seconds and go, fucking hated it, turn it, miss the whole thing, but then they'll tell people, I watched it and saw it, it sucked.
Back in my day, now...
I'm not even talking about back in the day. I'm talking about people are out of their fucking minds. My phone is ringing. I should turn that off.
Yeah, you know. Do you want to turn that off? Do you want to take that?
You can go get that.
Do you even know where it is? Okay,
I don't even
that's
know.
Fine.
Look, my phone is ringing. I'm not going to answer it.
Good. Don't. John, put that away.
Is it a woman?
It's a woman.
John, he has a
cord. Take that?
Just let it ring.
John hates cell phones, but when the bitches start blowing up to Sally, you know.
When there's trim involved.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I don't like cell phones.
Gots to get. That's exactly why.
I'm out doing stuff.
I remember.
If I'm home, call me at home. If I'm at work, leave me alone because I'm at work. And if I'm out doing something and you want to talk to me,
oh my god,
fuck you! I'm out doing something.
John,
my old roommate Monday.
We're off topic.
My old roommate Monday.
There's
had
no
a
topic.
Pager.
I got a list. You see this? This is a list of topics. None of them have been discussed so far.
Do you remember pagers?
Yeah,
I do remember
pagers. My roommate Monday had a pager, and like outside of a doctor or a drug dealer, nobody had pagers, and. I remember he had it, and he finally was like, cancel it, because he's like, you know, the only people who call me are you and my sister.
Pagers got to that point where it was like a dollar for a year of service.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they were giving away pager service, basically. Yeah. Well, then, that you know.
Speaking of the 80s, you want to move on to one of our topics?
I mean, we could or we could not, John. It's
no,
up to
it's
you.
Fine. I'm just sitting along watching.
No,
everything.
It's okay. But see, John is a magical guest because he'll take you in.
I didn't know it was
way.
Going this way. I had no idea this was going to happen, but it's fine.
Like,
John's angry.
What John's saying about instant gratification is true, though, because like, let's say it was 1985 and you were watching Channel 50 late at night, mm-hmm, and you came in the middle of something and you saw the Valley of Guangxi, a Ray Harryhausen movie in which cowboys fight dinosaurs. You'd have to sit and watch the whole goddamn thing to find out what it was.
But then, not only that, You would have to go the next day. You would have to make a deliberate effort to go to the library
and read
and look up in either the old newspaper or the old TV guide what it was, what it was if you didn't know the name, and then it would lead you to, you would say like, oh, special effects by Ray Harryhausen, and then you would look up special effects books, then you would read about him, you'd see pictures about him, and you'd really appreciate and the next time
well,
it still exists to a certain extent, but it's on YouTube. And so when I go on YouTube and I click on something, it always leads me to five different other things.
Sure.
And you can always dig deeper, but what happens is now you watch the clip for like 3 minutes and move on. Well, because everything is compressed.
The thing is what I was saying before is we are not the normal consumers. I do not believe that. Normal people don't have that drive. I posted a thing on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Okay.
I posted a thing on Facebook. It was on October 21st of this mm-hmm. year. When that guy who predicted the end of the world.
Yes. I saw this Facebook post, by the way. Yeah,
he remade. He said, okay, he was wrong.
Yeah, he was wrong. He missed. He right. admits. Whoops. Oopsie.
His new day is October 21st.
Which sounds, to me, sounds like that one's dead on.
So
there's no way this guy, you know what I mean?
So
he's got it now. Now, so accurate. Here, yeah, absolutely.
So I created a post on Facebook to celebrate not the end of the world day.
Okay.
Okay. I have gotten dozens of emails from people asking me why I think the world is going to end that day. Because they see end of world. They don't even read the name of the post.
Okay.
They see end of world, and then they go, I can't believe Tenney is predicting the end of the world. They haven't even read the sentence.
Well, okay.
I would believe in the apocalypse predictions. If there was a weather forecast accurate more than 4 days in advance.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the same thing.
If they could really
people will use the same argument about, you know, global warming and that stuff, too, is that, you know, we can't predict the weather, and yet we can say in 10 years, you know, that the oceans will rise up and swallow
our
cities. Well,
that's because of global warming. The weather is less predictable now.
Well, no, but the argument is you don't know what the weather is going to be like tomorrow.
I got you with that one, you son of a bitch.
John, are you saying, though, that there's normal people, which is you, and then there's all these other people... And that, but maybe they're normal and you're not. How about that for an argument?
Well, I mean, I can spin that many different ways.
It's not about a right and wrong. It's about what are people really doing today.
I think that people today are inundated with too much information.
Okay.
Most of it pointless and irrelevant.
Well, most of it is uninformed.
And uninformed. Yeah. And since they have... very little free time because a lot of people are working many jobs to try and make ends meet, mm-hmm. that they get onto the internet, which is this flood of information
right.
by anyone that can put it up there.
Okay.
And so they just spend as much time as they can reading the blurbs, which make them form opinions, which are uninformed opinions
okay.
on the blurbs, the millions of blurbs that they've
but
read.
It's not like there was a day when everyone was smart. There were plenty of dumb people. Aren't
there have
smarter
been,
or
there have always
than
been
they
dumb
used to
people.
Be. There's always been dumb people.
I, you know what though?
People.
We played when Greg Giraldo died.
Sure,
he had a great bit.
Yeah.
About the average level of literacy, and he had a bit about like Civil War letters.
Right.
And you read them like, "My dearest Hannah, my heart is swelling with the affirmation of your feelings,"
right.
and you know, and then reading a letter from a guy from Rock. Hey, don't fuck anybody, Tina.
Yeah.
You know. Like
it is hot as
that
fuck.
Was exactly yeah. right. It is hot as fucking here.
Yeah,
like he's right. That was a great bit because.
But that's not
it is wrong to okay. Woody Goddamn Allen has a new movie coming out. You want to know the plot?
I
of
know
movie
what
is?
The plot is, but tell everybody.
Owen Wilson is like a writer, and he just doesn't want to write screenplays. He wants to go back to the magic 20s. Mm-hmm. So he goes. They go to Paris, and he has like. Dream fantasies where he meets like Gertrude Stein and mm-hmm. Ernest Hemingway. It makes me want to puke with Woody and his goddamn.
Well, but it's sentimental. He gave an interview where he said he would not like to live in the 20s. He likes living in 2011.
You wouldn't know that from his fucking
well,
movies.
Well, he says that. He says
Woody,
that's.
If you look at only his movies, Woody has not allowed a single piece of cultural information past 1947 to enter his life, right? It just doesn't seem like it.
Well,
maybe Annie Hall hinted that he was aware of what was going on in the 70s. But like, if you look at his movie now, it's about like 35-year-old people who discuss Cole Porter, don't know what an iPod is. You know, you know what I mean? They're just like it's like.
But those people are
so.
I mean,
if you imagine the past to be some fucking brilliant thing, but you know, people in the 20s were probably the dumb people were dumber than people now.
Maybe
they were
fucking
uninformed and ignorant.
I mean, it's one thing to be able to like search for information and have it at your fingertips, which is, I think we would all agree, is a good thing, but it doesn't make you smart just because you can Google
sure. Here's what I think.
Who the president, you know, what year somebody was inaugurated.
I'm flying
know?
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let me just say this. I assume that there have always been the same level of dumb people and smart
sure.
people. the difference now between 50 years ago and now is that we all have access to the same technology, and we can now be aware of each other.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People that were smart before, they got jobs writing articles, writing reviews, writing books, writing whatever, and they became and they were our intelligentsia. They were the smart people.
We do it now. They just don't think it's worth paying us for it.
Well, it's because everyone,
because anybody can do it.
Because anybody can do it, and you know, really,
even though nobody actually anyone can't do it. I've been reviewing movies for 10 years, and I keep my job for a reason. But that's the perception.
But people, not everybody can do it well. But you can do it as far as you can be published. And you can be, you can get your opinion out there.
Everybody's got a pod. When we started doing podcasts,
yes,
there were comparatively few people doing podcasts.
There was.
Then there were like spikes where a couple hundred.
We were the very first working stand-up comedians that did a podcast in the world, and I think we know that for a fact.
I don't know if we can prove that.
I think we can pretty well prove that.
We were certainly ahead of other people because other comics would go, "What are you doing?
Yeah,
what's this mean?
Yeah, okay.
Now, what happened is 5 years later, every comic, like every five. Like, Adam Carolla started doing a podcast.
Yes, I know.
Mark Maron. And so, the old days, which were fun, when, like, we'd be listening to truckers doing podcasts.
Yes.
And we, trannies. Right. And all kinds of weird people, and that's why we used to have your podcast sucks. Now, it's like Andy Dick's got a podcast.
All right, well, I mean, I don't agree that the days of the truckers and the trannies doing shows were the good days.
It was fun for us.
Well, I mean, but... You know, you can have your fun some other way. I don't know.
Guys like John can do their
John has his
Realm of the Weird. Let's plug Realm of the Weird.
Yeah, let's plug Realm of the Weird, because for anyone who hates the modern age, Realm of the Weird is for you.
It's a throwback. It's a throwback to the yesteryear.
That's why we're tying it in.
And it's it's an enjoyable little thing.
I have not had a chance to actually
there's no episode. I think I'm working on the 10th right now.
Okay.
The longest episode is 12 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
That's it.
It's a bite-sized.
It's got the weird, spooky music in the back. It's got a decent story over the top. It's the creaking door in the midnight hour.
There was no established podcast length back in the day, too. Yeah. Right. You would get
John, but you're saying because you're producing this at a high level, that's why it's so short.
No, I'm producing it because I want people to listen to it, and I know that a lot of people, for diehard podcast people.
Yeah.
I know that most people don't have the time to listen to 2 hours or an hour and a half of a podcast.
And that's why we make them as long as
possible. Well, you know, it's funny, Corey. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately in the last couple of months.
Sure.
And I'm finding that the podcasts are longer than they used to be. As much as we were like saying, well, like our show was, you know, an 80-minute, we would lock it down to 80 minutes. But now it's less frequent, but it's longer. I'm finding there are guys who are doing 2.5 hours every week without failure.
You're right. We used to have a time limit.
Yeah. Which was nice. I would have cut John off a long time ago if we were locking this
down. I remember
down.
When we started, there were guys that were doing 3-hour shows.
Sure.
And we just were like, that's ridiculous.
Well, we were saying 3-hour shows were ridiculous, and then there were also people that were limiting themselves to 20 minutes, and we were saying, well, why limit yourself to? You know, there was sort of, you could argue it on both sides.
And we kind of locked in around 90 minutes, and then 80 minutes,
And now we kind of do whatever we want, but I'm finding that more shows are doing whatever they want.
Good.
And I'm just kind of feeling like, and you know what, and I'll listen to them, and when I get bored, I go to the next one, and I don't feel like I missed a goddamn thing.
But
because, you know, I know that whoever did this 2-hour show that I listened to an hour of it, there's going to be another 2-hour show next week.
Exactly.
And I'll just listen to it then, and you know what I mean, I'll be fine.
There's a true statement, though. Pioneers get eaten by bears.
Oh, yeah?
Settlers are the ones who achieve things.
Are we bears?
I'm just saying, remember in the podcast?
What does that make us?
No, I'm just saying, do you remember in the podcast community?
Yes.
When we did bonus material?
Yes, we did.
It fucking shocked the world.
Yes,
guys were like, you're doing secrets? You're just, like, they thought we were making fun of them on special, secret, hidden.
They weren't on the RSS feed.
We were putting Easter eggs hidden.
And they were.
And
almost
it freaked
like,
everybody out.
They were
what
like
is this bonus
DVD
material?
Extras.
And now every goddamn podcast, Mark Maron's charging you for his bonus
material. He's charging you for his bonus material.
Well, everybody's doing that.
I don't want to say, like, I came up with all the good ideas, but I probably came up with most of them.
There you go.
I won't take credit for all of them.
Wowzers.
No, what I'm saying is I think and you too, but I think we
Thank you. I'm glad.
But I think we understood what made good content.
Right.
And we tried to stick to it. And then there's times we don't. But when
we
did.
Like the last year and a half we've been doing
this. No. This is a fine show.
Okay.
This is a fine show. You know what?
Joel
this,
will never let me.
This is an agenda. This is an agenda. This is something we never had in the old days. Now, not that we've talked about one thing on this agenda.
You didn't have a we piece of notebook paper with four things scribbled on it with Sharpie marker.
We didn't have
that. Technology moves really fast. But we didn't have the access to this technology back then.
Now, Joel is getting podcasters contacting him about me.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was a guy that wanted to... He was interviewing you.
Yeah, for his podcast.
And he wanted a clip of you on this show. For I don't know why. I never listened to his show to figure out what he even pulled from
5 o'clock in the morning is what it's called.
Okay, but what did the guy... Why did the guy need a clip of my show? I never understood that.
He was doing... he wanted to do an interview with me because he was a fan of The Oddest.
Yes.
And I kept saying things like... when I drove a school bus, or when I ran for mayor, when I had a Japanese toy store, or when I did cut my leg off and it grew back. Like when I was, I would say all this stuff, and he wanted to interview me for his show because the first time he listened to The Oddest, I said, you know, I was in Royal Oak, and he was in Royal Oak and wanted to start a podcast. Oh. And then he realized that somewhere along the line, I was about four blocks away from him.
Okay.
And so I kind of inspired him to do his podcast, and now it's at a point where he wanted to interview me and find out.
But why did he need a clip of my show? I don't understand.
He was just collecting clips. Like he got a clip of Smokehouse, my old band. And, clips from the television show.
Okay, well, that's fine.
He was just being comprehensive.
All right, because I have
clips of you and Dr. Don hosting monster movies on the...
I have those.
Those are great.
I have those. Me singing the Mothra song.
That's good.
I'll post that on YouTube.
It's good stuff.
I'll put it on YouTube.
I had to work that
Myron
day.
Myron McMillan in the background dancing.
Now, nobody knows what you're talking about. I have really no idea what either of you were talking about.
I had to work that day, and I was so mad.
When I had my Japanese toy store.
Okay.
For some reason, they were showing Jurassic Park for the first time on TV.
Oh, okay.
So Channel 4 said, let's also show Godzilla when it's done.
Oh, okay.
And then the sponsor was Young Country. 99.5.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they said, let's have Young Country host the Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
From a Japanese toy store. That makes sense.
So that was all these, And so people started adding these bad ideas together, it and it ended up with
really
you on...
It would have made sense if they just had you host...
Right.
A Godzilla movie.
Like, right. you can do that on weekends.
Because they think they wanted Young Country to pay for them putting Godzilla on.
But I'll tell you what was groundbreaking.
John wasn't paying for Godzilla.
I'll tell you what was groundbreaking.
Remember when Godzilla cost nothing and that's when they showed it?
I bet you, Corey didn't even put this together where we've come around full circle.
Full circle.
So, Channel 4, Young Country, they're showing Jurassic Park.
And it was an analog.
They want to show Godzilla after Jurassic Park.
Over the air.
With Young Country. They come to me and they say, John, can we have Young Country come in your store and host Godzilla?
Okay.
And I said, yes, we'll do a whole night where we'll invite people in. Cowboys and dinosaurs.
Okay.
Valley of Guangxi.
That was the theme.
Yeah.
That
cowboys
be...
and dinosaurs.
Okay.
People love cowboys.
Which
now.
I made a reference to earlier. All right.
What?
Valley of Guangxi.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a cowboys and dinosaurs.
Cowboys and dinosaurs. Oh, bringing it around full circle.
Wow. Why don't they remake that?
All right. All right. I want to say goodbye to Corey and John. I'll continue on my own here at this point. No, I'm kidding. You guys...
The problem is John and I have known each other a long
Let's
time.
You have. Let's roll through your list.
Inside. Well, I have a list of stuff that is contemporary that maybe people are talking about.
Oh, well, then let's do
and
that.
We'll talk about these things, if that's okay.
Okay.
But, Corey...
Now let's move on to some obituaries.
Okay. Well, if you think of a Tim Conway movie from 1979 that you can't remember the name of, just break in at any time, because I'm sure that's on the tip of America's tongue right now.
Have you guys discussed Matlock lately?
Not lately, but I'm sure it's come up.
I love it.
Well, you have.
I actually had to explain to Jim from Thomas Video. Who, hold on, I had to explain to him who Barry Van Dyke show. Was.
Oh my god!
Because we were like,
did you say Jerry Van Dyke?
No, Barry Van.
Oh,
Dyke,
I don't know who
that's
is
Dick
Barry?
Van Dyke's son.
Okay,
and on the last season of Airwolf, after All it had right. moved off CBS,
okay.
onto USA.
Oh my god!
They fired everybody because it was too expensive to pay Jan Michael Vincent, so they brought in Barry Van Dyke. And I was trying to explain that Barry Van Dyke would come in and kill your sci-fi show. Like Battlestar 80. Right? Okay, all right.
All right.
All right. This is only for John's benefit.
I don't know.
But then Barry Van Dyke was the leg man on Diagnosis Murder, which was, Matlock's
rival.
Did
they use him to replace John Eric Exum on Voyager?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
That was on Cover Girl. Or what was the show?
Cover Girl.
What was it? Undercovers. What was the show he was?
The new one? There was a new show called Undercovers.
After
that
Voyager,
was on NBC.
No, but he died.
It's been canceled.
It was like a secret agent show that he was on, that he died on.
Yeah,
it was Voyagers was over. Anyway. All right, go ahead.
All right, let's move on with, boy, where do we start here? Well, let's then we're talking about television.
Sorry, we could do this all day.
Yeah, but nobody, I can't. I want this over. I want to talk about
Yeah, I got a lecture to do tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're doing a live performance, which I would we can talk about, but yeah, it's going to be
what's,
this.
What's your website so people can catch your
Realmoftheweird.com for the podcast, and then Weird Lectures.
And tonight is one of those lectures.
Tonight is one of those lectures.
Okay.
I'm opening for three bands.
It sounds like a great night.
I've done it before, you know, and it actually usually does really well.
Do people pay attention? Because I know as a comic, when you go up in front of bands, it's usually pretty lame.
No, I think that when I've done this before at the Magic Stick at the Berkeley Front and so forth. Yeah. And I think that for the first few minutes, it's rough and you don't really know what's going on. People aren't really paying attention.
Okay.
But the lecture is targeted to be so bizarre because I'll talk about things like, you know, the reptilian shapeshifters and the spaceship moon.
Yeah.
I'll keep the other stuff, the kind of heady informational stuff.
All right.
And I'll just be, you know, Weekly World News for 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And this will grab people and they will
I've seen John do this in some venues. It works real well.
Yeah.
Well, so I would say, I mean, again, I think it's a thing where if people are coming to see that, they would enjoy it, but if you're springing this on people that just happen to be
this is a bar, or happen to go wanting to see a band. Kind of a spacious bar, so I'd be interested to see how this plays here. But
well, the other thing is, too, is I haven't done a lecture for a while around here, so I think that a lot of people will actually come to see my lecture.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's wonderful.
You do got peeps. All right,
let's move on to
someone with a lot of friends.
Well, no, I was going to talk about...
Someone with a million friends.
Well, can I...
Oh, what are you going to do?
I was going to talk about The Office, the end of The Office. Can we talk about that?
That's not on your top of
it
your
is,
sheet.
It's right there. It's not starting on the top, at the bottom.
Oh, God.
Because I feel like that next topic is going to degenerate. So I would talk about The
All
Office.
Right, fine.
Because we
Let's
can be on
The
topic.
Office. All
so
right.
Steve Carell leaves The Office, and John didn't know that, but he'd left to do movies.
Well, I didn't know if he had quit or if he was fired.
He left to do movies. All right. That's what
he's
going
to play himself in a bunch of other films again.
Exactly.
He's going to probably not do well in movies. And
no, he's terrible in movies.
Well, I don't know if he's terrible. I think you have to find the right project and, you know.
Evan Almighty?
Yeah, I think it's been a mixed bag for Steve Carell.
Get Smart?
Get Smart was okay, but it wasn't great.
All of the romantic films where he plays Steve Carell?
You know, unfortunately for Steve Carell, he had his biggest movie was the one that he was in.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right when The Office hit.
Right.
He actually shot, I think he shot 40-Year-Old Virgin before The Office.
Yeah.
But they came out like at the same exact time.
Right, and just blew up.
And so if he wouldn't, if the show would have failed, he would have been okay because he had this movie career.
Right.
But the show was a bigger hit than
I think the
his
show,
movie career ended up being.
The show really kept him alive.
It did,
flops.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so Steve Carell leaves. They had Will Ferrell on for his last couple of episodes.
And the Steve Carell, the Michael Scott exit show was great.
Yeah, Corey loved that. I was maybe not as big of a fan.
I thought
as
they
you
handled
were.
It really well.
I actually I liked the last episode.
Of Steve Carell. Yeah,
I had in my brain for years the series finale,
which would have been what? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Which would have been Steve Carell dies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Michael Scott dies.
Yeah.
And they get a new manager, and the series finale, the end of it, would be just kind of those shots from the opening montage where everybody is still there, everybody is still working, and Michael Scott is kind of reflected in the window of the office, and he's just looking around at everyone.
A paranormal twist on the end of the
and
office.
And he, like, even his spirit is trapped there forever.
I had a thing where it was actually... Erin, the receptionist, has a snow globe on her desk of the office building, and she shakes it up, and inside the snow globe
is actually
Saint
Elsewhere?
A retarded kid had a vision of what this office life was. Sorry, that's the Saint Elsewhere finale.
That's the sassy, I don't know.
That's Saint Elsewhere ended
it was,
with that.
It was like an autistic kid had dreamt the whole thing.
From now on, no references older than 15 years
that's
old.
That's fine. Well,
I
hated the Will Ferrell
stuff. 1995. See, Will Ferrell to me was a mixed bag. I thought that when he did his stuff, his typical Will Ferrell stuff, it was funny. But at the same time, I'm glad he's not going to always be there.
I hated it.
Because I think it did get a little tired. Corey?
I thought that the Steve Carell ending was so good that it sort of should have been the series finale.
But I thought so too.
And it cheapened, and then it was kind of like
the show with Steve,
oh shit, the show's still on.
The show that Steve Carell left on, they had very little Will Ferrell in that. He was in sort of the previous two. Then they did the episode right after Carell left, where it was just Will Ferrell as the manager, and then he got injured playing basketball, and then they got rid of
him.
The
problem was, since it was stunt casting and Will Ferrell was only there for
you knew
three
he had
episodes,
to go,
if they had given him six or seven, he might have made a character other than Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
They tried to give the guy some quirks, like he's into Southwestern art, but there was no character.
Right.
It was just Will Ferrell was
I enjoyed some of his singing, you know, the bad singing from the Dundies.
Give and Will Ferrell
when
10
he did
minutes.
His juggling, his, you know, juggling with no balls thing.
Will
it was
Ferrell,
funny,
I used to hate him initially when he was on SNL. I really couldn't stand him. And then Anchorman kind of switched me.
Okay.
And I kind of got him, and I liked what he was doing.
Right.
And now you can just let him go.
I still don't like Will Ferrell on balance, but I thought he was fine on these, and I thought he added something.
And then what did you think of these?
I think, you know... I give me Will Ferrell's career and I'm not watching
but
that.
I don't think the show would have been sustainable with him.
Right, I agree.
Not at all.
I agree. Now, then they did another show. They did a show where Dwight was the manager,
which was terrible.
Which was pretty bad. And
because here's the problem in The Office. It's now Steve Carell kind of, they carefully managed his character where he was insane and he did crazy things, but he was a good salesman.
Yes.
And so there was a rationale for the company to keep him because he actually had big accounts and was good with clients.
Yes.
Terrible with his own employees.
There were times he would pull the rabbit out of a hat and it kept his job.
They carefully seeded that through the whole show. You get rid of him. Dwight, I don't believe anyone would ever buy something from that fuckhead. And then Dwight pulls a gun out in the office
and shoots
and Andy's eardrum blows out.
Yeah.
And he's not immediately fired and or arrested.
No, he's not.
And put up on charges.
Well, he is demoted from being the manager.
But no one called the cops. He's not, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so unbelievable.
It is.
And that's when The Office generally, when they go off on these wild
the argument, and then the final one where they interviewed all the different, and there was a bunch of Warren Buffett and James Spader and Ray Romano.
Now, Ricky Gervais went off on the Warren Buffett thing, and he should have, because that was stupid.
It was bad. Warren Buffett can't act.
It was stupid.
But my point is that one of the complaints about The Office is they were always leaving The Office and doing other things. For those last few episodes, they actually did concentrate on people working in a paper company.
Mm-hmm.
So did that make it better or did that not help it?
My problem with the entire... I mean, I have only really watched The Office in the past 2 years.
Okay.
I've caught up on all the episodes through reruns.
Sure.
All right, through reruns. It's on your basic
cable. Channel 20.
Not cable, over-the-air television, yes.
And here's the problem I have with it.
Yeah.
I always, whether it was the BBC or the American Office, I always watched that show as a pseudo documentary.
Well, okay.
And when it is a sitcom, it fails.
Oh.
I think you're right. The episodes I really hated were like the one that made me nuts, where I really jumped off the boat on the show was when they went to Shroot Farms. I hated that one with all my heart.
Really?
I just thought that was the dumbest shit.
And I forget what the premise was, but I remember when Dwight drove into the lake.
Right.
Going like, well, that was just retarded. But
Anyway. They have this tendency to oversell on that show. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the premise. The show is best when it is that kind of existential, we'll never get out of here alive attitude of, people working in a job, which they don't want to really be at, but they have no choice but to make it better
when they show
through
you
their
the,
friendship.
When they show you the comedy of the real life office and how quirky people just normally are. Dwight doesn't have to have, I can't even give you a really decent example, but Dwight having a knife hidden in the office would have been as funny as Dwight having swords and guns hidden
set a fire that nearly burnt the office down.
He caught a bat with like an axe or something. Remember? It was they just do ridiculous stuff. Taxi was another show that was the same kind of idea where they're never going to get out of that they all have aspirations. Tony's a fighter and Bobby's an actor and they all have dreams of doing other stuff and Elaine's a slut and they have dreams of doing stuff, but they're going to have to drive a taxi at the end of the day. And that's what The Office is best at. And instead, they go off on this crazy, you know.
I don't know. I'm going
to
see how where they
Pam
go.
How did Pam get through security to say goodbye to Michael at the airport?
What do you mean? She just walked. I don't know. I mean, you're saying the security line. When
he
Scranton,
wasn't he past the security checkpoint?
That's, she had her yes. shoes off, and she went through the thing.
Okay, so they did she buy them. A ticket to go
I don't,
on a plane?
I don't,
you have to have
you
a
have,
ticket
you have
to get
have
through security.
If
you fly a lot. These oh, to drive
oh I didn't realize that. Well, in that case, fuck the show. She didn't have a ticket.
These are important issues.
These are. But I well, but so they left it on a cliffhanger. They didn't tell you who the new boss was going to be. They interviewed, you know, like I said, all these celebrities. Jim Carrey made a brief appearance.
Sure.
These people.
The Finger Lakes.
Who are they?
They're going to go with the redheaded chick from England who no one in America knows, Catherine Tate.
And you
Catherine
know that Tate. For a fact. That's
Catherine Tate.
You
is
think
gonna
that
be
Donna
in.
Noble's going to get it?
Donna Noble from Doctor Who. John and I know who she is.
Okay. Because
John, I don't know if you're aware of this, is a giant nerd. As am I.
So you're saying that you know this for is that confirmed?
I
or?
Am pretty certain because Ray Romano is already on a show.
Right. Well, I mean, what
James
if,
Spader's not.
What if they
get
just
it?
Went with Daryl or something?
They
just
that
not
would
go
no.
With that
they're going to bring in an outsider.
They're going to bring in an outsider.
Yep. It's going to be Catherine Tate.
Okay.
Who will be odd?
Really? You really think it's going to be
Catherine Tate?
Well, he's predicting. Are you?
You know
predicting
why?
This.
Nobody else. None of the big names they floated around.
Right.
Want the job. Danny McBride doesn't want the job.
Here's the when I was when
Reese
I heard
Darby was,
Catherine Tate wants an entree into American television. She's a big British star. She was a sitcom star. She
I
was
didn't
like
find
Tracy
her character
Ullman.
Funny at all on that last episode.
Me neither.
So
and
yeah,
she was
I
on
thought,
Doctor.
I
she was Doctor Who.
I thought
she was on Doctor Who.
I thought. Now, did you watch the BBC Office?
I yes.
And you did.
I yeah.
Yes.
Right. I thought when I heard. That they were going to be interviewing people for
yes.
a new boss
mm-hmm.
for the office. I thought they weren't going to interview Ricky Gervais. I thought they were going to interview Tim.
Oh, that would have been good.
No.
The guy who plays Tim
right.
in The Office.
He's
who,
in
what's
the
his
Hobbit.
Name? He's in The Hobbit.
Martin,
right.
Martin
yeah.
Davis?
Right.
Martin.
I thought that character
should
would
I look
been,
it up, Corey?
Yeah.
I thought it would have been funny to have
he was
the
Arthur Dent in
yeah, I thought
Andrew
it would have been funny to have the character that Jim is based off
right,
be
there.
Jim's boss.
Well, I was always expecting them to do a crossover where, like, Gareth from The Office and...
Right, sword fights Dwight.
Right.
And then they end up...
Martin Freeman.
Banging it out.
Tim Canterbury on the UK
Thank
Office.
You.
Okay.
They bang it out?
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Well, I don't know. I'd
like to see a wife swap with
I did not
Dawn
like
and Pam.
The final episode where they search for a new manager. I found it...
I didn't like it either.
I thought that James Spader was funny.
It was
I
a two-parter, right?
It was. It was like an hour long, yeah. And I thought,
cut it! Pull the plug! Kill it.
No,
it's
but
done.
It's coming back. It is coming back.
It's already in syndication. They have enough episodes.
Yeah.
It's coming back. And I just hope that they do the right thing with it because I think it could go bad. And I think that
I think
the end,
terrible.
Steve Carell's leaving and sort of the Will Ferrell transition, I think it's been a mixed bag. It hasn't been all bad, but it hasn't been all great either.
Everybody talks about the greatest sitcom of all time was MASH, or at least not everybody, but a lot of people. When the conversation, what was the greatest sitcom of all time? And MASH is usually in the top five.
People mention MASH.
You try and watch those last couple of seasons of MASH, all right? You try and watch. That
watch
show went on.
Watch the last couple seasons of Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah, Cheers got a little sloppy.
With Kirstie Alley, and then she burns the bar down, and now somebody else owns the bar, and Sam works.
Cheers maintained a pretty high level of quality.
Nobody knows who Cheers is
okay.
anymore.
I know.
People know who Cheers is.
No, they
so
don't.
I'm just saying, you watch like a...
Kirstie Alley is from Dancing with the Stars.
You watch an all Charles Winchester episode of MASH and tell me how you feel about yourself.
You guys are just ridiculous.
We are.
You're bringing out the worst in Corey, and you're bringing out the worst in John.
Yes.
Now, but after MASH was underrated, that was really when they came home.
All right, so
after the
we can all agree that we none of us loved it, but Corey liked certain elements. You liked Michael Scott's leaving.
I
episode.
Love that, but then killed the show. I don't
and
need
then
to
Corey
see anymore.
Says he's done with it.
I like the Michael
but,
Scott.
But are you saying kill it because you're not going to watch it anymore, or are you going to watch it and just what is what
I
are you doing personally?
I believe there will be diminishing returns. And
but
I'll probably,
will you watch it?
I'll probably watch it out of sort of, you know,
you'll give it a
morbid
chance.
Curiosity. But, yeah, okay. I think it should be done.
I'll watch it like a police chase on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what happens.
I mean.
Nothing else to do. Let's watch that.
Now, the British are always like, I don't really buy Ricky Gervais's like, well, we did 12 of them. And that's all you could do.
Yeah.
That's as good as it's ever going to be. Just did 12.
Right.
I don't buy that shit. Like,
right.
I think you can massage somewhere between 12 episodes and 5 seasons. And then
right.
that's usually when
I
you got to go.
I agree. Parks and Rec is the better show at this point. That yes, is absolutely. Done in the same style and from the same creative people.
The best part of the American Office creative was when Michael Scott said, hey, let me know when this thing airs.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I did like that.
Because on the British show, they actually did air the documentary.
Right.
And that only made Ricky Gervais's character crazier because he thought he was famous.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
But it makes sense if you've been to England, because those fuckers on like BBC Three at like 4 o'clock, they'll be like, and now the man who sweeps the streets in Luton, you know, like right. They'll put on documentaries about, you know, garbage men and shit.
They do, yeah.
Right. It's like the dullest stuff they watch on that.
All right.
The cheese eater.
Exactly.
So now covering that, Oprah left the airwaves. I and this is something I will say.
I'm going to need a minute.
It's okay. You go ahead. I'll talk to you.
I'm going to need a minute.
I didn't watch the final Oprahs. I found that everyone that Oprah had on.
It was so beautiful.
Was a giant asshole.
I never.
From Michael Jordan to Will and Jada Pinkett to Julia Roberts to Madonna to Tom Cruise. I went like, these are some of the most reprehensible people on earth. Only dwarfed by the most reprehensible person on earth, Oprah. And who can give a shit? And then somehow Tom Hanks was on there, who I kind
of
like.
I have not watched a full episode of Oprah since 1994.
I can't watch a full episode of Oprah. You know?
I have.
The last time I even glimpsed it was my parents stayed with me for like a month.
Yeah.
And my mother, who used to love Oprah, can only watch like 5 or 10 minutes. Okay.
You know how they say dying is a great career move if you're a rock and roller?
Yeah.
I had not seen an Oprah episode in years. Maybe if there'd been some kind of controversy, like James Fry, I'd watch a couple minutes of it.
Yeah.
But when she said she was quitting, I started watching some.
You started
of it.
Watching all
would,
the time.
I'd turn into her favorite things, and that's why we did the Assholes of the Year, is after I'd watched those.
Yeah, that's Corey. That's who you got and fuel for your fire.
So I did not know. You're right. Oprah just was out of my consciousness until she was like leaving, and this orgy of the great and powerful Oprah.
Yes,
for the last year and a half has been so despicable. I've been occasionally drawn to it like a car crash. It really is.
But what is your opinion on the final episodes? Then you watched them.
I think the final episode is a massive achievement for this culture. I think what happened is that it has really shown America has grown so much in the last 25 years. It is now a nation in which black people can be as self-absorbed assholes as white people. They had every spade worth a dollar in show business showed up. Jamie Foxx was on it with her clit in his teeth.
I did see a clip of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Was it Chris Rock? It was Chris
He was
Rock.
On there.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to
and
be.
And he was kissing her. I would have never been famous if it wasn't for you, Oprah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're the one who made my career. I remember when you wrote my first joke for me.
When you think of Chris Rock, Oprah is the first name that comes to mind.
The only other episode that I've seen, and this is I watched something where she went on a vacation with her best friend Gail.
She went to the Grand Canyon,
and I guess that
my best friend Gail.
I guess people do that to show how human, how normal they are.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing was about how she is not a normal person.
Right, yeah.
Like, I can't pump gas.
Yeah.
My tire's flat. I'm afraid of being in this park. Right. And there's only other one black person in this park. I have to go talk to that guy.
See, they were alone and afraid. But, you know, the camera crew was there.
We should do it.
But they were scared that something bad was going to happen to them. Even though they had a production truck.
Yes.
We should do a special where my 10th best friend John and I go on vacation.
Yes.
And we go to Cleveland or where's a wonderful vacation location?
And we have $6.
To Benton Harbor or something.
$6.
Benton Harbor.
To the sand dunes or what are those?
What we do is we try
Sleeping Bear Dunes.
We try and find all the hot nows in Michigan.
Oh.
And
there's a story right there.
I'm hungry.
Now there's something.
Let's go.
I was literally thinking, because I'm a fat guy still.
No.
I've lost a little weight, but fat inside will never die. And I was thinking about, I'd like to have like a nice Cincinnati chili. I'd like to have a nice Skyline chili. And I went, I wonder where the closest one is. There used to be one in Bowling Green when you do the comedy gig down there.
Yeah.
And the closest one's in Lima, Ohio. And I thought...
I was in Lima.
I'm like,
not too long
can
ago.
I legitimize driving to Lima
for chili
as a day trip to get some chili? And I couldn't, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I was near a Waffle House and didn't go.
No.
No?
I thought about it. I considered it.
But what
so
stopped?
I'll get
what
up in the morning you? And go to the Waffle House.
What but stopped you?
Just didn't.
Self-respect?
I just, you know what? It was a little bit out of the way. That's the thing. There was a McDonald's. Well, I had three breakfast options.
Mm.
I had the hotel breakfast, which was free.
Mm-hmm.
I had McDonald's basically in the parking lot of the hotel,
which
or
is
kind of
free.
Well, whatever. It's cheap, and I like the McDonald's right. breakfast. Or did I want to go south and exit on the freeway to the Waffle House and then have to drive north?
No.
So ultimately,
McDonald's.
I chose McDonald's because I figured it was better than the hotel breakfast, which was going to be.
Well, you were thinking like a comedian. So there's two kinds of comedians. There's the I'm in town. I'm going to kick back and relax and light a cigar. And I'm going to hire a Malaysian boy to give me a foot rub. And then there's like 85% of the other comics that are like, how can I get to and from this gig with the least possible
yeah.
interaction with other humans
yeah.
and or expense?
Well, the thing is, I went for the McDonald's over the free hotel breakfast because I knew I had a 2.5 hour drive, and if I ate bad food from the hotel, I might get the shits or something.
Here's the thing.
That's why those hotel breakfasts are free, because they suck.
Yeah,
I hate fast food.
Okay.
I fucking love McDonald's breakfasts.
There's
something
what
way
do you get
different.
At the McDonald's breakfast?
There's something way different about food, like breakfast food at McDonald's.
What's your?
I'm just a normal sausage McMuffin with egg guy.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
Three hash browns.
You have to have hash brown for every sandwich you have. You have to balance that out.
The hash browns are incredible. I like the sausage biscuit.
I have the sausage biscuit.
The biscuit's good.
That's my meal.
I've even been known to dabble in a McGriddle.
Look out!
But I'm not
batting down the hashes.
Now I don't eat it that very often. But you're right. McDonald's breakfast has a weird.
Does McDonald's still have where you can get like a sausage patty, a hash brown, and a pancake?
Probably.
I think so. I think you get the...
But that doesn't make sense if you're in your
car. You get the tray.
No, but I remember that
you
as a little kid.
Hotcakes and sausage.
Yeah, I remember when I was a little kid, you could get those. I remember when like they started those.
Yeah, it was in a little foam thing. I think they got rid of the foam, but I think it's still on the menu.
That's where it's got to fall apart. The hotcake can't be any good, McDonald's. The pancake is...
They were at the time. I remember
it being delicious.
Good, yeah.
They used to have the chicken biscuit.
Oh.
Which was kind of like your Chick-fil-A.
Yes, Chick-fil-A has chicken sandwiches.
The Southern Chicken Biscuit.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Are there no black people left to go to McDonald's?
Well,
what is this about?
John, let me ask you this. The movement, and I think it may be in testing, or at least it's in the talking stages.
Oh, shit.
Is to have 24-hour breakfast available at McDonald's.
Get the hell
out
of here.
How do you feel about that? Does that ruin the allure of having the breakfast at breakfast? Would you have it at another time of the day?
They do have test-marketed McDonald's. Where they do have 24-hour breakfast right now.
Okay, they do have
them. One of them is in Chicago.
Okay.
It is fantastic.
And you went, and
it's
you
fantastic.
Had it.
Mm. Yeah, because I showed
but
up.
Where'd you go?
I showed up, and it was 6
p.m.
P.m.
Yeah.
And I got a sausage McMuffin.
But did you know that ahead of time? You just walked in?
There it was.
And they had breakfast.
Yep.
I said, okay.
And I was ready.
I can't see myself being real into it after, say, 1 o'clock. But what bothers me, and this was a joke on SNL, at 10:30, they cut off the breakfast.
They do.
And if you're like, if it's 11:15 and you go, I'd love a sausage biscuit.
No.
You can't do it.
They go, fuck
so
you.
So that's annoying.
Well, that's the thing. But is that make the breakfast more appealing? Is that it's that limited hour thing? I mean, I'm honest. I'm not up much early for McDonald's breakfast. I oversleep it 360 days out of the year. Wow. I'm not up in time for McDonald's breakfast.
I think
I would appreciate
a 24-hour.
You would. Okay, yes. That's good. I like that. I like that. That's honesty.
Do you use any do you put anything on your sausage biscuit?
I eat the sausage biscuit as it is.
As is. No ketchup.
Hash brown as is, no ketchup.
No ketchup.
And then I'll have an orange juice.
I've never thought about putting ketchup on it.
What would you put on the sausage biscuit? Ketchup?
No, I've seen people put ketchup and hot sauce on their biscuit or on their sausage
biscuit. I could see the hot sauce. I could see that, sure.
And you can get the plain biscuit, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I like hot sauce on my eggs.
Yeah. Right.
If I'm just eating a plate of, if I'm in a regular breakfast.
No, I like the McDonald's breakfast, but I rarely get it. But just this couple weeks ago, I was up
early. How do you feel
early.
About Burger King breakfast?
I don't get it. In fact, that's McDonald's is the only fast food breakfast I really eat.
Sausage croissant?
Burger King breakfast is... okay in an
boy,
emergency,
they did it. They relaunched
but it's really
that.
Not the same.
Didn't they relaunch that a year ago? Have you had it since then?
I think they've tried to fix it.
And they had something in a commercial that looked fucking fantastic, like the big breakfast or something.
A lot of things at Burger King look fucking fantastic when they put them on the TV.
Yeah.
And then you get them, and it's like a cat a died in your mouth.
The,
it's really, Burger King can be really awful.
The most depressing place in the universe is the Clausen Burger King on 14 Mile. John, I don't know if you've been in there lately.
Because
I know that's
the
not
one
far
off
from
Main
you.
Street.
Yeah, 14 between Main and Crooks, yes.
Yeah.
If you go inside, it's just it's like a welfare office. It is so broken down. Because they closed the Burger King that was close to me. That me and Corey would occasionally go
there.
No, but it's close to my girlfriend's house, so I went there the other day.
Did you ever go to the Burger King that's on Main Street before you get to 12?
That one's good. I like that. It's a good Burger King.
The thing that was craziest about that was that up until last year and the statewide ban went into effect, you could smoke in that Burger King.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
It was like the last fast food restaurant.
I didn't
realize that.
And
you go in there and every senior citizen from Barton Towers.
That is a good Burger King. That is a good Burger King with a mostly attentive staff.
Yeah,
we were.
I once put my cell phone in the garbage because it was on the tray, and the manager helped me get it out of.
It's
the
like
garbage.
Fucking at six the 12 with mile, his retainer
at the 12 mile Burger King.
I gotta say, you're right. Old people, the phenomenon of old people smoking. Because we stopped at like a Dunkin' Donuts in Adrian on the way to Amy's parents' house, and it was like the shittiest Dunkin' Donuts I've ever been in, except everybody who had fought in the Crimean War was in there, all smoking. And apparently the smoking ban didn't apply to this Dunkin' Donuts.
My mind is blown when I travel now and I go to and I see people smoking in restaurants. It blows my mind. Yeah.
But where do you got to go? Like Tennessee?
Kentucky?
Yeah, any states that are big tobacco states, it's legal.
Kentucky?
And, North Carolina?
I was in a Waffle House.
Yeah,
I was in a Waffle House, and there was I was eating, and I was talking to the people I was with, and then all of a sudden I
sitting there smoking right
smelled,
next to you.
I smelled, and I was like, "Who the fuck
right
is smoking in here?" And there was a guy, and he's smoking. I was like, "Holy crap! I'm not in the fucking USSA."
I'll tell you how crazy the smoking ban is. Speaking of not being in the USA, I was in
USSA.
Oh, there you go.
USSA,
Soviet Socialist States, telling me what I can and can't do with my life.
You were in the CSA when you see people smoking. That's where you are.
That's right, yeah.
You're in the CSA down there. Speaking of the smoking ban blowing your mind, I was in Europe last year, and people were not smoking in restaurants. Yeah. And I went, this is fucking France?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, there's no one in France? They're not smoking? What is this?
Yeah, I think Israel, everyone still smokes. Am I right about that? Isn't that where everyone
probably
smokes?
They can do
Eastern,
anything they want.
They're on the edge.
They can do anything they want.
Very edgy.
Eastern Europe.
They can do anything they want.
They're going to bomb us. Any minute now.
No, Eastern Europe, they smoke.
Eastern Europe, they smoke.
You go to Poland, they're fucking smoking in elevators.
Send me to Poland.
Next
All right, Oprah's gone.
Oprah's gone. Thank God. And Oprah's success on cable. Will it happen? Yes or no?
No.
John Tenney.
No,
because...
Nobody cares.
The reason Oprah was successful is that she had big celebrity guests.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I mean? And the Yentas in the afternoon.
And diminish her on cable.
And now Gail's making friends with like the TMZ photographers.
Oh. Yeah. But I think ultimately the problem with Oprah is that Oprah isn't that talented. And ultimately she was, you know, part of her success was she had time slots and exposure that she's not going to get any more. And
they brought everybody out for that.
Exactly.
Halle Berry. Goddamn Maya Angelou came out and read her a poem.
The reason that Oprah succeeded the way that she did is because there was
she ripped off Phil Donahue?
Because technology and the way that information is disseminated wasn't the way it is the way it is now.
Yes. But also Oprah is held over from that era.
Yes.
Last
pre 200 channels of cable.
Yep.
You know, free over the air syndicated programming.
Now you can watch talk shows hosted by someone that has experience in a field.
Yes.
Or not.
Right.
Tyra Banks.
Because Oprah was sort of this catch-all show.
Right.
And now you watch The Doctor or The Interior Decorator or The Cook. Which
by the way, she helped pioneer.
Exactly, absolutely,
yes. Spun off all those guys on their own shows.
Right. But, then smart on her end to do that.
But I think that, you know, she's
now,
done.
When is Morton Downey Jr. coming back? Is that
Morton Downey Jr. is actually dead.
Oh.
Speaking of dead, can I just... Corey's... Corey's broken up about this, but let's just... For those of you that don't know, just listen to this. We'll shut up. You guys listen to this, and we'll never hear this voice again, and it's too bad. This is,
Over the many, many years that I've covered professional wrestling, I have seen a lot of changes.
And it's not me, Gene Okerlund. It's dead.
Gene Okerlund's
changes in this great sport. and a lot of changes in a number of individuals in professional wrestling. In the World Wrestling Federation, here is a man that has not only turned it around 180 degrees,
180 degrees,
but he's gone another 360 and then
360
and then another 180. Macho Man Randy Savage, you have changed over the past couple of months like I can not believe, sir.
I'm a chameleon, yeah.
Chameleon?
Yeah. I'm talking about the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on. In the video scope, yeah, I am looking right into you right now. Macho Madness right now. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. Macho Madness is on a roll and it can't be stopped. No, Elizabeth understands what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Why is it, Macho Man, when I sit and talk to you, stand and talk to you for that matter, that I think of old Sonny and Cher hits? Why is that?
Unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place. Me and Gene Okerlund go down that lonesome highway. Yeah. But don't be hypnotized. No. Reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate and you can mental telepathy. Yeah.
But the beat goes on.
But the beat goes on.
That beat in particular has got to include maybe the Honky Tonk Man, the Intercontinental Champion of the World. I know you're not getting along real well with members of the Bobby Heenan family, Macho Man. Not at all.
Let me tell you something right
now. Gene trying to get it on point.
About the greatest intercontinental champion that ever lived, the Honky Tonk Man is out of line. Yeah, because I am the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion that ever lived, and I am the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived, and I'm living now. Yeah, right now.
You know, he makes no bones about making the proclamation that he is. I'm talking about the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
He says I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can make romance. Yeah, right. There, the fork in the road. I said go right. Elizabeth said go left. I went right. And then I understand what the situation was. I went over that one bridge, yeah. And then when I crossed that bridge, I found out that I was on the right side. And I said, Elizabeth, follow me, yeah. Because I'm going straight to the top. The stars, yeah, the stars. One shining star in the night. Shining brighter than all the other ones. And I'm talking light years away, yeah.
You're talking Macho Madness.
Macho Madness, yeah. Macho Madness rolling, yeah. You thought so, but I know so. And Macho Madness is coming straight
to you.
You
thought so, but I know so.
Talk, man, and a light, yeah. Because I'm on a roll and I ain't stopping, yeah. Elizabeth, go right and I'm going left.
Can I ask a question, Macho Man?
No more questions.
I'm sorry about that. Macho Man, Randy Savage.
All right, so that, unfortunately,
the late, great Macho.
No longer with us. His interview reminded me a lot of the show. Just making no sense at all and just going, yet, can I ask a question? I felt like me and
yet,
Gene.
That made no sense.
He made,
but
okay,
yet was brilliant.
Okay,
but we were riveted
the idea
by
is,
the no sense of.
The idea of this, now this was been on.
The nonsense.
In all likelihood, was on a syndicated wrestling show. He's promoting a match with, let's
honky
guess,
talk,
the Honky
man.
Tonk Man. We don't know when that match is. We don't know anything about where we can purchase
we
or
that
see that event.
Good left, I go
but
right.
He's, somebody's going left. Somebody's, oh, and it's just like
space is the place. Telepathy.
You know what? People give a lot of credit to Ali, rightfully so, for the poetry. But the Macho Man, when he,
the tower of power too sweet to be sour.
I mean,
funky like a monkey. Cause space.
But
is
a
the
lot
place.
Of times, I think one of can't the genius things about Macho Man was that he didn't rhyme a lot of the time.
Yeah, I know.
He would set you up for it. I'm sweet and sour like you don't telepathy in your head.
Yeah, he. So of course,
went,
it
wow,
sounded, when he started
great.
Talking about astral projection, I thought it was a Realm of the Weird episode.
It was. He
it really.
He was man. He was out there. But, you know, in a way, you do want to see, because he's so crazy, you want to see him fight because he doesn't make any sense talking. And you go, well, he must really be a tough guy because, you know.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, what's going to happen when he actually
and
gets a hold of somebody?
In the ring, he was phenomenal.
He was phenomenal.
He really was a great wrestler.
And, of course, Randy Savage drove into a tree last week. Actually, they think he had a heart attack,
yes.
And that seems to be the the consensus.
I am shocked that a man who lived on a steady diet of steroids and beef sticks,
cocaine,
would actually. Speaking of that,
as a tribute.
Oh, are you snapping into a Slim Jim?
As a tribute,
no.
I to the Macho
Jim,
Man.
You're
think,
the greatest thing I've ever seen, Corey Hall.
Oh yeah,
roses are red, violets.
You want some excitement?
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm gonna eat this now.
Well, I'm gonna.
No, if you want to go to another place of arterial discomfort?
I couldn't wait.
You gotta snap in.
Johnny snapped into a Slim Jim.
Slim Jim.
I'm not gonna eat this.
Oh yeah.
Why are you not gonna eat?
Because I don't want a Slim Jim.
I haven't eaten a Slim Jim in probably.
Well,
I'm gonna guess since 1993.
Enjoy. Yeah. So
let me.
These were made in that year. So.
The smell of this thing alone.
That's right.
Is so phenomenally bad.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to eat it.
Here it comes.
Oh yeah! Mmm.
It does have that mechanically separated chicken in it.
That's what it says: beef, mechanically separated chicken.
whenever mechanically separated is in your
whatever
ingredient
that
list.
Means.
Oh my god!
But this is U.S. inspected.
Who made the mechanical chicken separator machine? Who was the guy with the patent?
I'll tell you, Corey Hall. Chickens are mechanical. Man is magical.
Can have that Slim Jim, Corey. Thank you, though. I appreciate the thought.
That is gross.
It's getting you. Yeah, is it spicy? And John's loving it. John,
I love it.
John doesn't.
John's eating that up.
John's drinking a Rip It and eating a Slim Jim.
We got to call Joe, and he'll eat the rest of these. Uh-huh. We have a friend who, at one point, was living off Slim Jim and Funyuns.
But, you know, Randy Savage, though, not only known for being a wrestler, he was an actor. He was in the first Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. And he did, I think, a Walker, Texas
Ranger.
Where he
played a wrestler. It was a stretch.
Yeah, it was a stretch, yeah. But it was not all he was.
I got to see the Walker, Texas Ranger.
I didn't see the Walker, Texas Ranger.
Sting did a couple of those, too, didn't he?
That sounds like a real.
Walker, Texas Ranger was based on real stories.
A genius. And this is Randy Savage. He also did a rap album. And the title track was called Be a Man. This was only like less than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he had retired pretty much full-time in 2000. He made a brief return in TNA in 2004, but only lasted like one match. But he also cut this rap album called Be a Man. And the main track, the title track, he was challenging Hulk Hogan to a fight.
Mm.
And so you'll hear this now. This is Be a Man.
Hollywood officer, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward. I dig it in that open leg, you set it off.
Set it off.
Used to be a hard hog, now you done turns off. Doing telephone commercials, I see ya.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting tight as a ballerina. I do want to know you had those tendencies.
Now, let me ask you
from my truth, like I gotta just.
The production's not bad.
Was this released by Psychopathic Records?
This is not, no.
It sounds very similar.
It sounds like Twisted or something, doesn't it? Yeah, a little bit, so.
Who's going chicken hunting? Who's going chicken hunting? Who's going chicken hunting? You know you can smoke. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
The rocks break too fast. But what I tell is we do a
this album is a favorite around the Psychopathic offices, I will tell you that.
It was a charity event, but the whole. We got a Joker card. Ooh. You're at the end of your rope, and I'm a kick in the butt and wash your mouth out with soap. Like when they danger filled you. Going to Shangri-La! Come on, come on, don't be scared. You're running from.
I want you to hear the hook before I cut it out.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared.
Be a man, Hulk.
Be a man, Hulk. That's what you're saying.
That's what I heard. Be a man, Hulk.
Name of the album, Be a Man.
Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk. They call you Hollywood. Don't make me laugh. Cause your movies and your acting skills are both trash. Your movies straight the video, the box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man. You hide, man.
Well,
that's legit. That's he's not.
He can't.
He speaks
can't
the truth. This
dispute
Macho Man.
That claim. That is the sad irony of the Macho Man, is that he was the greatest wrestler in the age of Hulk Hogan. Right? Yeah. I mean, he would have been the number one star.
He ultimately got famous wrestling him, though. So, you know, I mean, you could say one helped the other. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you wouldn't you wouldn't have Muhammad Ali without Joe Frazier.
He was the total package where, you know, he could actually wrestle.
Yes. Lex Luger was also the total package.
Well, that's true. But he didn't. Thank you. With the loaded forearm. Lex Luger.
Can't believe you guys never talk about Gold Dust.
Oh,
that was later and a different.
Here's a brief story from the annals of Corey Hall's life. I was working at a medical record storage facility that also stored hospital equipment.
Woo!
In the mid 90s, and the guy that I rode with on deliveries lived in Port Huron and listened to Young Country religiously, and was pretty much convinced that wrestling was real.
Yeah, well,
that
he
happens.
Was a big fan of the 1-2-3 Kid.
That really happens.
And he was so irate at that faggot homo Gold Dust.
Oh, wow.
He ain't right. There's something wrong with that boy. And I'm like, you're from Port Huron, but you sound like you're from the deep south.
Well, Port Huron is
unbelievable. But Gold Dust,
he
wanted to get his hands on that faggoty Gold Dust.
It really reeks of Slim Jim in here, if I may say that.
Chun sucked that whole thing down.
Yeah, I did. It's gone. I've been meeting a lot of wrestlers.
You've been doing your conventions. And, of course, I am now the ring announcer for Juggalo Championship
Wrestling.
There you
go.
Every 2 weeks on pay-per-view at psychopathiclive.com.
You want me to bring somebody
We got lots of stars. We got all the stars. Well, we've had him.
Honky Tonk is the preeminent Elvis impersonator wrestler of all time.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's the top guy.
The top one.
Yeah, he's the top guy. No, but, wrestlers are...
That is so foul.
But, you know, I saw Randy Savage wrestle live many times.
I'll eat that
I was
other
at
one.
WrestleMania 3. Yeah, go ahead, take that one.
I'll eat that other one.
Well, it's a gift from Corey, so I'm...
There you go, John.
Corey's
can I eat this other one?
You can...
John, I worry about your health, but go ahead.
Snapping into it. Number two.
Yes.
You know, my arteries went one way and my veins went the other. When I snapped into a Slim Jim.
My Jeep Cherokee went right into the truck, yo. Anyway.
You said go left and I went right into a tree. What was Macho Man's real name?
Randy Poffo.
Poffo.
Yeah.
Right.
And his brother Lanny Poffo.
Leaping Lanny Poffo. And his dad Angelo Poffo was a wrestler.
An innovative family naming in that. Randy and Lanny. Really innovative.
There's a good Sports Illustrated did a good article about his baseball career that you can read online.
He was a minor league baseball.
There's lots of pictures of him from his baseball years.
And then
this
is always great. He injured himself and then decided to get into wrestling.
Well, he hurt his shoulder. He ran into the catcher at home plate, and then he decided he would throw. He would learn how to throw with his other arm to play baseball, but he didn't have it. You know, but he was a good hitter. He couldn't field, so he couldn't play baseball anymore.
Who are the big wrestlers now?
Right now?
Yeah.
John Cena is the biggest wrestler in the United States right now. And then you would probably say Randy Orton.
Batista.
Batista's retired.
Is he retired?
Batista's retired.
When did he retire?
A year or two ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
I don't watch it very much.
He left WWE. He just hasn't.
I got no idea who these people are.
Kingston?
No, he wouldn't be the biggest, but he's on the show. You know, certainly, you know, Randy Orton would be another big
guy.
The Miz is a big guy.
That's a real guy. He's from Real World.
He's from Real World. Mike
he's
Mizanin.
Actually one of the top guys in WWE.
He's one of the top guys. He was the champ.
But he always wanted to be a wrestler, right?
He wanted to be a wrestler when he was on reality shows and stuff.
I think he did the Real World to get noticed on wrestling somewhere.
Yeah, until recently. And like Undertaker's kind of around half the time.
If you turn on TNA, it's all the old guys.
That's something I've been interested in.
What's that?
Is the Undertaker has to be like the last original guy.
Well, I don't know if he's based on what.
From like that WrestleMania era of the 80s.
Well, he debuted, I think, in the early 90s. Like 90 or 91 he debuted.
He was
in WCW as Mean Mark Callis and stuff before that. But
yeah, he's from about that time.
Yeah, he debuted in like 90, 91 and feuded with Hogan in that.
Well, Hogan is running around in TNA. He's not really wrestling.
Yeah, he doesn't really wrestle anymore, but Ric Flair still wrestles occasionally.
Hogan will come in and punch somebody every now and then, I'm sure.
He's sort of the commissioner something.
Is there
that
what's the one guy's name with long blonde hair? He used to be, he was the golden boy of wrestling for a few years, maybe 5 or 6
Ric Flair?
Ago.
Kurt Hennig?
No, Shawn?
Shawn Michaels. Yeah. He recently retired.
Oh, he did?
He was still wrestling until recently.
Yeah, until recently.
Didn't he get hurt
retired.
Really bad or something?
He was out. He hurt his back for many years, and then he was out.
Guys will wrestle well into their 50s.
Yeah, 60s. I mean, Mil Mascaris is 71 and just did a match in Mexico. But yeah, wrestlers go until they're old.
Does he still flip around as much as he used to?
Mil Mascaris? He probably does a couple of the moves. Yeah. I don't see those matches, but...
This is the shame. I can't watch the wrestling now, and that's probably because I'm over 14.
Well, the wrestling's terrible now, and it's funny. We were talking about this before the show, but, you know, those Randy Savage promos that he would do with Gene Okerlund in the locker room or whatever, they got rid of those. And I thought that helped really these guys get over, in a sense. But now all of the interviews and stuff are done in the ring.
Right.
In front of a live crowd.
Right.
And,
now they'll do little vignettes that aren't as good.
They'll do backstage sketches and stuff, and they're not.
In the
as
old
good
days, yet. They would do those. They would do those promos, and then they would do like talk shows.
Yeah,
they do like the Body Shop with Jesse Ventura.
Oh, and they would do you know Piper's Pit, and that was a lot of the big angles. The big angle that set up WrestleMania 3,
sure.
Where I was at, where I saw Randy Savage wrestle his most famous match, losing to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat
after he'd crushed Ricky's larynx.
Yes. But remember why he won, though. It's because George the Animal Steel knocked Randy off the top rope.
But they were having a feud, too.
They were having a feud, too.
I met George recently.
Did you really? George is not.
He's from here.
Yeah, he's from Detroit.
Madison Heights.
Yeah.
But so Randy Savage dead. Another dead wrestler. He was 58 years old, which is too young to die, but not
in wrestling.
In
that's
pride
a long
is wrestling
life.
Prime. Yeah.
Too young.
Too young to die.
58's too young.
58.
For anybody.
In wrestling, though, that's a long
That's
life.
Considered a premature death if you're 58, right?
Absolutely.
What's not 70, you probably go like, okay, that's an old guy.
Average age right now for a man is supposed to be 73.
That's when you die.
That's when you're dead.
But, I mean,
so anybody over 73, you're on borrowed time.
Yeah.
But I mean, for a guy who isn't, who has spent the majority of his life as an athlete,
yeah,
that is way too young.
Sure.
Even when you're pumping up steroids and whatever you got to do, yeah, like the, you know, your body might, your heart might be weak from
steroids
or whatever.
They haven't determined this, but what happens with wrestlers is their hearts get enlarged,
right?
Because from the steroids, if you think about, if your biceps are big, your heart is also a muscle,
right.
So your heart is enlarged, and the valves and those things can't keep up. You know, they don't grow at the same rate, and they get weak as they get
Anyone
larger.
Anyone in their 50s is too young.
Yeah, I agree. So goodbye,
oh,
Macho Man.
Farewell, Macho.
We hardly knew ye.
He really was. And you know, even as a kid, when you're a kid and you root for the good guys,
yeah,
I always kind of liked him when he,
yeah,
even when he was a bad guy.
Yeah, he was he was a baby face for about half his career. I mean, he went both ways.
He did, but he started out when he was fighting Ricky Steamboat. And as a kid, I always went, I kind of like Macho Man,
yeah,
even though he's a bad guy. And, you know, now some of our friends who were also wrestling were all heel fans.
Yeah, there's always those, the guys
right.
who just root for the bad.
But I was kind of like in between. And
right.
Macho Man I always liked.
Yeah.
Even though now, can you imagine his angle was he was an abusive boyfriend.
Right, yeah, his angle is
That's
very
like
much...
a despicable premise.
There was a big...
you know what I mean? He was always like... Elizabeth would do something. You're like, whoa, and he'd get in her face.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a line. It was in one of the bios I read about him where there was
Shit,
the angle.
He shoved her to the
he
ground.
He said, I'm going to crush you in 1 minute if you don't, you know, because she was interested in Hulk Hogan
when
or
the
something.
Mega powers
and he threatened to kill her. Yeah.
When the mega powers exploded.
Yeah.
Liz got knocked down by whoever they were fighting in the tag team match.
I know because I read the bio, but it was the Big Boss Man and Hakeem.
Okay. And then Hogan, like, picked her up and took her in the back.
Yes.
And then Randy was mad that he'd saved her,
mm-hmm.
and they got in a fight. And then in the middle of that fight, he knocks Hogan over with a chair and then pushes her down. Like, you wouldn't, you know what I mean? It's just not shit that would fly anymore.
Well, but, you know, those were those days, and those days are over. But I think we can all agree with better.
And if you missed him on your VCR, you just wouldn't see him again.
YouTube.
It's all
Nowadays
there now.
We have
It's
YouTube.
All there.
That's where I got those clips, so courtesy of YouTube. And,
mm-hmm.
You know. Was that the interview that you had found also that you were into?
What's that?
The one that I played of Macho Man.
That was a good one.
I'd seen that one too. Yeah,
I think I put that.
And
on
it's
Facebook.
Funny that there's nothing extraordinary about that. They're not plugging anything special.
No,
it's just a regular every Saturday afternoon.
Insanity.
It's just a great example of the kind of riff that he would do, and there was
nothing
no script
makes sense,
there.
And then
that was just all out of his head. And you watch him on like Arsenio Hall, and he's doing the same stuff, and he's crazy.
All right, quickly, because I think
who else have you met at a Comic-Con?
Yeah, give us that quickly, and then we got a couple movie things.
Oh no, let's go on to movie stuff.
Well, but you're doing these conventions though.
Yeah, lots.
Yeah, do you have anything to plug? Are you going to be anywhere anytime soon? You don't even know.
The first week of July, I'll be at this thing called Days of the Dead.
Okay.
It's a horror movie convention.
Oh, well, all right.
It's got both Buseys.
Are you doing horror?
Are you
doing
Jake,
horror
you're saying?
Jake
Jake's
and,
going to rehab. Jake I don't, that, and that's going to happen.
Jake from the Frighteners.
Jake is going to rehab.
Has Edward Furlong.
Mm. Are you doing Horror Hound?
No.
He was in The Green Hornet, Edward Furlong.
He was. I didn't
Very
know
briefly.
That. I didn't
and
know
about two lines.
I have to say, though, when we were like 20, in our early 20s.
Yeah.
All we ever would have wanted to do was have a booth at a comic book
convention. That's what I'm saying. I'm
right?
Telling you
right I mean, that
now,
been the greatest
I'm telling
thing.
You right now, I am living a dream.
Yeah.
I am sitting there by myself. I told myself I was at the Motor City Comic Con this year.
Okay.
And last year, I went with the girl that I'm dating.
Okay.
And we were walking around, and I said, it has always been, this is no joke. This is no joke. I said, it has always been a dream of mine to be lonely at one of these
things. Yeah. Right, because then. You,
and I was living that dream.
Yeah,
and you would be like, oh, this is phenomenal. We'll go to the comic convention. And then you see like Harlan Ellison sitting there with a plate of nachos. And like one guy comes over every 20 minutes and goes, hey, Harlan, you suck. And you just go, this is one of the greatest science fiction
ever. Real. Like you don't have it in your mind. Like the only words that George Takei is ever going to say to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think you're going to say, like, hello, thank you for everything. And it's, or in actuality, it's, that cheese is good. Because you're in the green room eating chili with him.
But sometimes they get crazy. Adam West apparently tore it up at the Comic-Con like 2 years ago, was partying.
Oh, I can believe it.
You know, and like...
Greg the Hammer Valentine was down for
but
me.
But sometimes...
Yeah?
Sometimes... John Saxon, there was nobody at his table, so I just walked up and had like a 10-minute conversation with John Saxon, who we used to have birthday parties for.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes...
Ian Ziering.
You're
Beverly
right.
Hills
he, he's at these, yeah.
Yeah.
He was at Motor City Comic Con.
Yeah.
And at one point he was talking to a friend of mine and he said he was Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Sure.
Had like a line. And there was nobody in front of Ian Ziering.
Yeah.
And he said, this is his exact quote is, this is pretty fucking humbling.
I think Ian Ziering would do fine in a different setting.
Absolutely.
I think the fans,
he was on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah.
He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He was 35 when he did
Yeah,
himself.
He was old. He
great.
A teenager, yeah.
He looks great.
he would do fine at like a mall or something. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
He's for women. But
exactly.
Everybody else what did you good. Do is, the Star Trek people. There was the whole Battlestar Galactica.
But you're getting weirder celebrities more and more that are in like these Comic Cons. That like I remember Stephen Gross walked by me at one point, and I'm like the dad from Family Time. I know he was in Tremors,
but that's
they did one sci-fi movie.
But you know what it is?
It's enough.
It's because comic conventions and horror conventions are on their way out.
Oh. It's like pop culture.
Pop culture conventions.
It's pop culture.
Yeah,
right. And what they should do is fuse them together.
And they are. Yeah. I mean, that's what that thing we were in Chicago, C2E2.
Well, the Comic-Con, you're not in a comic book.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on television.
That's what I'm saying. The Comic-Con is now the General Lee is there.
Yeah.
It's more, it's less about, there's still guys selling comic books, but it's less
there's
about.
There's no reason for Star Wars people to be at a Comic-Con.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they made
there's Star Wars comic
eventually,
books, yeah.
But it wasn't the people who were in the
and
film.
And that's most true of the big one, San Diego, which is now where the studios all go and show their stuff.
Right. And they show movies there.
Right.
And
it's
that's
pop culture conventions.
Speaking of movies, I saw this Bridesmaids movie. The summer movie season is on us, and even though it's May,
it is.
It's not even Memorial Day yet.
Well, we already had Thor.
We've had Thor and Pirates of the Caribbean and all these things. But I went and saw this Bridesmaids, which actually has made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's done well for itself. Of course, Kristen Wiig, billed sort of as the male version of The Hangover.
Yes, sir.
And I got to tell you, and it was funny, they gotta fucking cut these movies down.
It's long.
This movie, I just looking at my watch, I had it as 2 hours and 10 minutes.
What?
I researched it, and they said it was 2 hours and 5 minutes when I came home and looked it up. But I went like, what happened to comedies being 85 minutes?
They're blame Judd Apatow.
Well, Judd Apatow produced Bridesmaids.
Blame Judd Apatow. He produced it, and now he gets to do whatever he wants.
But do you think
Paul
that they
Feig
gave him, really?
It. Paul Feig directed it.
Because I was going like, well, maybe for a director's cut, it would have been acceptable because you're at home. And like I got the DVD of Date Night, and I watched that, and it was like longer. You know, you could watch both versions.
It makes very little sense because the longer your movie is, the fewer screenings a day it gets.
Right, but my feeling was
if you go over 2 hours, like, it's cutting out a screen.
You could have cut, I mean, even it was almost like the SNL thing where if you just cut a minute off every scene, and they could have in this Bridesmaids, it would have been 40 minutes shorter and a much better movie.
The problem with Bridesmaids is it had some funny stuff in it, but it wasn't paced.
Oh my God! It is the
right.
Longest.
It was not. It was not paced
it's
as a
2 hours
comedy.
That you just go. It's the. It literally. It felt like every bit of 3.5 hours, and it's you know. And
well, I've always thought that comedies and like slasher horror movies, 80 minutes.
Yeah,
that's it.
90 tops. I mean, 90 tops.
If you're gonna try and get really artsy with it, 90.
Right. And like,
because how much in a film? How much in a film is really padding?
Yeah. A lot.
You know,
yeah.
Where you see the car drive by,
right.
And then you see it pulling up in the restaurant. Cut that shit out and give me the movie.
Yeah. But
unless you're making a fucking art film.
And Judd Apatow, you blame for a lot of these things.
In this one, the padding is relationship stuff.
It is, yes.
It's long. It's made for girls.
Yeah.
And so the girls have long talks. It's kind of like John and I sitting here talking since I've known John since 1988.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about shit that's not material to anybody else.
I could cut 40 minutes out of this show and it would be better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But
that's what's in that movie.
But I know it's so lame though because it's just like it is. It's a Julia Roberts comedy shoehorned into romantic comedy, shoehorned into this Judd Apatow gross out bromance.
I thought
women.
Some of it was really funny.
And so did I. And that's what was a shame about it.
And I thought like the romance that she had worked okay.
It was fine.
Here's my question. Though.
But then there's all that stuff with Maya Rudolph where they're talking about the feelings.
Oh my god!
And you want to die.
Here's my thing though. When they make a movie like that, right? Mm. Are the jokes new or are they reworkings of male jokes?
Some of that in this.
You could argue that they're reworking male things.
But
like,
you know, they put them in a very female context.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the way they did it, like she has a big meltdown where she explodes at the one bridesmaid.
Yes.
And that was in a really feminine way. Like,
yeah,
she threw a fit and threw stuff. A guy would like punch somebody else.
Sure, a guy would get drunk.
She just
and
like
start
called.
A fight. Yeah,
she called her out and then started tearing shit down.
Yeah, she started destroying the decorations.
I think it really was. It was written by Kristen Wiig and another woman, mm-hmm. so it was written for women and it had a woman's perspective.
Yes,
but they did also take a shit in their.
They
wedding
did duty
dress,
jokes.
You know?
Yeah, and they did a lot of.
So it's
yeah.
like. You know,
oh, we all ate bad Mexican food or whatever they ate, you know, right. and then they all get. And so it was just like it was really disappointing to see that this movie just could have been a great comedy.
But,
and it was just weighed down by trying to be something else.
I think Judd Apatow has been doing that.
But
Knocked Up has 15 extra
Knocked
minutes.
Up is a little long, but I mean, Funny People is the one where he really wins.
Yeah,
Knocked
blew.
Up is
it
one of the worst films ever.
Oh, I like Knocked Up.
I thought
I
it was one of the worst
like
films
Knocked
ever.
Mm.
I now,
disagree.
What, okay. Let's go to the internets.
On what? What are we looking? What are we going to the internet for?
What's the runtime on 40-year-old version?
Oh, okay. I'll look up all these. Good. Good thinking.
There you go.
Good
all thinking. Right. Good Let's thinking. Compare to runtimes. What's the runtime on Ghostbusters? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, right? I would say,
I've
for me,
Ghostbusters is 2 hours.
When you're calling a 90-minute comedy, I'm thinking of like Woody Allen's Bananas or something. Like that's a 90, you know, 85.
That's probably 85.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
I think in the 80s. I think in the 80s, people were still stuck in that mentality that a film was 2 hours long because that's how much the reels held.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can make a movie however long you want it.
Right.
But I think
that, you know, because music suffers from that, where you know, a 45 only had 3.5 minutes on it.
But,
and so people got used to writing 3.5 minute songs.
There's so many formulas based on how many screenings a day.
Right.
How long people will actually sit through
for
a movie.
Sure.
Okay.
People will... only want to have a babysitter for like 3 hours, you know?
Okay.
All right, hit me, Dr. Science.
Okay, 40-year-old Virgin was 116 minutes long.
Under two.
Although there was 133-minute unrated version. I'm guessing that was the DVD cut. Knocked Up was 1 hour and 29 minutes, so just about the same length as Bridesmaids. And Funny People was a retardedly long... 146 minutes, so two hours and 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, so 2.5 hours, Funny People. We all agree that that was too long. That wasn't a good movie. Mm. But, you know.
What's the Hangover runtime?
Oh, the Hangover. Let's see what the Hangover is.
Well, how long did Crawl last?
It's still going.
I thought so.
But I started one.
I should really get the Bridesmaids runtime then, too, shouldn't I? Because
it's 8 discs, isn't it? It's
one.
Huge.
Just one.
Mm. Crawl's good.
But it only shows that big on the screen is only that big on your TV.
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah.
The Hangover was...
in a cube.
The Hangover was 100 minutes.
Mm.
Closer to the ideal 90
yes.
minutes, right?
Mm. Yes.
And then you had those credits which were funny, too,
yep.
though. So,
and what about the Hangover 2?
And that's why I consider the Hangover 2 I will get for you. Now, you've seen Hangover 2.
I think it's 112.
We're going to talk about...
What was the running time on Animal House?
Okay, 125 minutes was Bridesmaids, so almost exactly the same length as Knocked Up.
Just over two.
Animal House.
Animal House. Okay, what are we doing?
But that's 2 hours. That's a long show.
Animal House. Or Stripes or something. But
Animal House or Stripes or Meatballs or
sure, Meatballs.
Okay,
don't get me started on Joel.
I
meatballs.
Love me some Meatballs.
That's a good movie.
I have a plot summary for Meatballs fan fiction. Believe it or not.
Do you like Meatballs?
I do.
One of my favorite films.
Good,
of all
good.
Time.
Now, there you go. I'll tell you my idea for Meatballs fan fiction after the show because I'm afraid somebody's going to steal this and they'll make this movie and I'll be cut out of it.
Meatballs is one of the funniest comedies ever made.
Okay. I've got Animal House at 109 minutes.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Well under two.
See?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you all those 80s comedies are going to be about that.
Meatballs is, let's see, Meatballs.
Back when SNL cast members.
99 minutes for Meatballs.
Minutes.
There you go. Perfect. Right. See, there you go.
They knew what they were doing.
What about Ghostbusters, which is effects heavy? What do you think about that?
Ghostbusters is probably going to be
under
2 hours.
Hour for 105 minutes. That's my guess. I'm guessing 105 for Ghostbusters. Let's see. Ghostbusters, 105 minutes. Wow. Boom goes the dynamite.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so see, these extra 20 minutes can just disappear.
I'll give you Ghostbusters 2 runtime, which was not as good.
No, not at all.
108 minutes, so they added 3 extra.
And now they're filming 3.
I think they're written a script for 3.
I just was confirmed.
He knows from the Comic-Con, Ernie Hudson told you.
Through the paranormal world, I guess everybody has signed the contract.
Oh, okay. Bill Murray did sign on.
Okay, and they just signed that chick from, who's that stupid blonde actress from, like, Not Another Scary Movie?
Jamie Presley.
Anna Faris?
Is that her name?
Anna Faris, Jamie Presley.
She signed on to Ghostbusters. Okay,
one of those two.
No, it's that one.
So Bridesmaids is too goddamn fucking long. I think we can all agree on that. And why that movie, Judd Apatow, gets final cut in that, I have no idea. But
well, he produced it.
I know, but come on. His movies are too goddamn long.
It's working for him.
Yeah, it made
it's
money,
making money.
But,
and I will say, though, about Bridesmaids, there was too much character development, but the characters were developed.
The characters were good. It was a good movie.
In The Hangover 2, the characters are barely, like, they're kind of like, all right, we got a tall guy and a fat guy.
Okay.
You know, they're just kind of there.
Well, but I mean, you're saying the characters from the first Hangover.
Yeah, but they didn't bother to develop them in any way.
Well, but I thought the point, and you've seen it, I haven't, I'll let you talk about it, but the feeling I get from the trailer, and you said that you saw it, it seems like it's more of The Hangover, in a sense. Mm-hmm. They've just written more.
Snapping in
There's
the
no Slim Jim that can be not be tamed. But I'm saying it's just more Hangover. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, it's the same plot.
It's the same movie.
They just moved to Thailand.
Okay.
Like, one of them gets lost.
Is Mel Gibson in it?
No. And that's a problem.
Wow.
You can tell the scene that Mel Gibson was intended for.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Mel Gibson, and they didn't even get anybody else famous.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they didn't go, hey, Harrison Ford, you want to do this? Which would have been funny if they got someone else, or another action star. Instead, they just got some guy anonymous.
It's Nick Cassavetes, actually, is who it is.
Yeah, he's not
well known. He's not a well-known guy. Right. Well, you know, Liam Neeson did it, and then they wanted to reshoot it.
Right.
And he wasn't available, so they had to get Nick Cassavetes.
And Liam Neeson would have been vaguely funny.
Yeah, but he actually did shoot it, but they didn't like it. So
it would have been funny if Gibson had done it.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Right.
Because it would have been wild, wacky Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
But it sits there in the movie like a dead fucking...
Does it?
It's just like a bad egg.
So the movie where I consider The Hangover... Okay, big thumbs down, Corey. I consider The Hangover one of the great comedies of all time, and I said that when I saw it. And I saw it the weekend it came out.
I liked The Hangover just fine. It's
So, I mean, to me, it can only be a disappointment. You know what I mean? Like, Ghostbusters 2 was not a great movie. None of these comedy sequels are generally not good. Beverly Hills Cop 2 and 3 can suck an egg. The first one's great.
I can't believe you like some of these films.
Based on what? The Hangover?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Have you ever been blackout drunk before?
Yes.
How many times?
I don't know. Many? A dozen times, let's say.
All right. Okay. I understand the comedic value of that film.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's funny.
Well,
John died.
Each his own.
John died for 2 days in 1999. 91. What was it?
89.
Blackout movie would be hilarious, The Hangover.
No. I just think that what is typical for a lot of people is outrageous to others.
Okay.
And then people who kind of live somewhat boring, incomplete lives think it's outrageous and hysterical.
But I think The Hangover, that's just a device to get you... The reason The Hangover worked is not because it was about guys who got blacked out and got drunk. It was this mystery element that they were trying to patch together what happened before them and nobody knew.
And that structure in
a comedy was original.
Here's the problem. What worked in The Hangover was that they were all sort of sedate suburban guys who got involved in a wacky adventure.
Yes.
Right.
Now we've already seen that they're capable of a wacky, out-of-control adventure.
All right.
And then we now have an expectation that's going to be a wacky, out-of-control adventure.
All right.
Right.
So the movie then tries to escalate it, but they're not going to put a tiger in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So you can't really get crazier than that.
Right.
So instead it gets grosser. Like, okay, a guy loses a finger. Spoiler.
All right.
A guy loses,
I can't go now.
A guy loses a finger.
Yeah.
I don't care how fucking high you are. That's never funny. When a guy loses a finger, right? You're never like, oh shit, John, remember that time your finger
I mean, that brings up a good point. I mean, you know, so they do a Hangover 2, and then and like you said, like they keep trying to amp up and build up and up. I mean, do you get to a point where like it's funny that they raped a girl in in the Hangover?
Well, there's something very similar to that in this movie.
And is it supposed to be funny?
Yeah, and you go, it's not that, but it's a similar transgressive sexual act, and you go, really?
Well,
and it's you kind of get a giggle. Okay, you know, whatever. There's dongs hanging out.
I'm sure there's dongs.
There, you want to see some wangs? This is the movie for you.
Well, that's why I'm there.
I want to see a wang.
Put that on the posters if you want to
snap into
see
that
wangs.
Slim Jim.
No, but unfortunately, it's not. They don't put Brad Cooper's wang.
Exactly.
Out there. They don't put the handsome guy's wang.
Well,
out there.
You're the only one that has seen The Hangover. Yeah, you saying don't go if you're a fan of the original?
If you like the first one, leave that in your memory bank, because I thought the first Hangover.
But I see, I can see Hangover 2 and hate it, and it won't change my opinion in any way of Hangover 1.
Maybe because I'll hate both of them.
Nah, there you go. I will say this. I'll say this.
You're like, that was from 1978. Meatballs.
Yeah, it's a great film.
John.
All right. I love Meatballs too, but
you love Meatballs too.
I do. No, I don't. Meatballs. No, I like Meatballs.
Wait, which one's Jackie Mason? That's Caddyshack 2.
It's Caddyshack 2.
Where's the Meatballs? That's the Jewish aliens
okay,
come down?
That was something. What's a good comedy sequel? What's a good where the original's great and the sequel is every bit as good or better?
Road to Morocco.
Okay, come on. Be honest. Be serious. No. John, any thoughts on good comedy sequels?
Good comedy sequels.
Arthur was great. Arthur 2 was terrible.
Yeah. I can't believe they remade that.
Well, then
I don't think comedy sequels ever worked.
I don't think they do either.
I think what you can do is take the same actors and then put them in a different scenario.
Put them in a different thing, and then
that sometimes will work.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of what would be a what I don't know. I'm on top of my head. I'm kind of puzzled. I don't know. Yeah. I throw it out to the audience.
Yeah.
I can't think of a one.
Did people like, I don't know if I even saw these, but people like Wayne's World 1 and 2, or no, those were bad? Or Bill and Ted or something like that?
What about the Kevin Smith movies where they're kind of the same characters, but...
Well, you have Clerks and Clerks 2, which I never saw Clerks 2, but I like Clerks.
Yeah.
But you're saying Mallrats compared to Clerks.
I would say that the Kevin Smith movies are kind of on a plane. They're not really better or
one
worse than each
other, than
right?
Other.
Maybe you could make an argument for Chasing Amy being slightly better than the other ones.
I wouldn't argue that any of those are great comedies, though. Clerks is okay.
You know what I mean?
But
they're great comedy. They're about the equivalent level.
Sure.
They're flat.
God, I'm trying.
Even though it's zany comedy, do you think that Austin Powers works for the first two films?
Maybe. I like the first Austin Powers, and I don't think I even bothered with the sequels.
It may be that.
The thing with Austin Powers is that was a cult hit, the first one.
Right.
And so the second one was a bigger hit.
But the third one blew.
But yeah, I think most people would agree with that.
I think it's really hard to make a sequel comedy because it's the novelty of whatever the premise and setup is.
Whatever was funny about the first
blown out.
You can't repeat it. Right. Yeah.
Which I think, actually, you know what? That would play into the fact of why, you know, if you really can't use the same character because you're just putting them in different situations, why Sandler would make the same film with the same type of character but name them
different.
Well,
Jerry Lewis did that too, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, Sandler does the exact, and now it's gotten worse.
Right.
He used to go to the trouble of putting a wig on,
and
doing something different.
Right.
Now it's just Adam Sandler shows up and calls himself a different name.
Right. Huh?
It's really what that is.
Well, Woody Allen kind of did that too. He had that nebbish character, and he would do Bananas, and then he'd do Sleeper, which was him in the future, and then he would do, you know.
In his good days, none of the characters were different.
It was kind of him, there was a...
But you're right, I don't think a sequel works for that very reason.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of one, a good comedy sequel.
Like, okay, you
can
make...
And I can't think of one.
You can make a sequel out of Spider-Man, because you go, Spider-Man, and then he's going to fight another guy.
Yeah.
You can do a different take on the same thing.
City Slickers 2.
Oh, The Search for Curly's Gold?
I didn't see that, I don't know. Anyone like
that?
It's
weird, though, isn't it?
None of them are good.
You can do war, like you're saying. You can do war and superheroes and stuff like that because their characters based on battles.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do war movies forever because there's always another army to fight.
You can watch
another
adventure of somebody.
Yeah. I mean, Back to the Future, some people like the sequels. You generally don't.
I'm
see
a little iffy.
Yeah,
on
yeah I am yeah. too. I don't think I don't agree with that, but I think there are people might, who might defend those.
And the whole premise of a comedy.
And Back to the Future isn't a straight comedy, but it is funny.
Unless you count like the Hope and Crosby movies,
right?
I can't think of sequels to comedies prior to like the late 70s.
Like Caddyshack 2 or something.
Can you really even think of one? I mean, like,
I don't know.
No.
What about More American Graffiti? That was terrible.
Well, right? That's a different kind of sequel.
Is it?
That's the let's use the name and nobody comes back.
And nobody comes back. Grease 2.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Grease is brutal. Grease is like getting beat up in high school. Grease 2 is like getting raped in a Turkish prison.
Look,
I mean,
who's
that's
talking
rough.
Now. Corey.
Look who's talking. That's good. Now that's good.
Baby Geniuses.
Problem Child 2. Yes.
I knew that was the next thing out of your mouth.
Yeah. Now we're just naming shit. Bad comedy yeah. sequels, not even.
Well, I know
Beethoven movies.
Yeah, Beethoven 2nd. Beethoven's 3rd.
Right. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when it was helicopters and boats. It was not as good. It was not as good.
Well, they made multiple Pink Panther movies. That might be a case where one of the sequels to those were better.
You know what that is? That's a
than the original Pink
Panther.
You can
take a character.
They took Clouseau and they put him in.
And you can repeat
the first
one
Pink Panther is not a great comedy. It's more
not
of a
so
straight
much.
Movie about a robbery and Clouseau's in it.
But. Yeah, I don't think you can really repeat a character. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough. But yeah, instead of doing the same character, what happens is like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
You're right. They just, Eddie Murphy is a wisecracking black guy
yeah.
in a different scenario.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've determined no comedy sequel works.
I can't think of one.
Junk.
No.
All of them.
If you think of one, call us at 610-552-0746.
Yeah, you can call 610.
Leave a message.
552-0. So you didn't notice the extends that were hanging on the the bulletin.
No,
card.
I do now, though. Holy shit. Do we got another 40 minutes?
I was given those as a gift for my, a gag gift for my birthday.
John's got a show to
and
do.
And you notice there's one extends missing.
I'm good. I'm good not knowing.
No, I took it.
Are you still,
I
are you still recording?
Yeah, I am. Of course I am. Why would I not be?
I don't know. I just saw the screen.
Oh, because, up, I, well,
like
yeah, because I'm searching
Internet
I'm searching
Movie
IM,
Database.
IMDb.
All right.
No, I took it on stage.
One more.
Bar,
is yeah. that it? For the...
I think so. Do you have any other movie stuff to go over? Otherwise, I think we're
Smurfs,
done.
Smurfs trailer?
Oh
good fucking God. Mm. Okay.
It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get bad. Yeah, the summer is not.
Are they making a Heathcliff movie
summer,
next?
Summer is not.
Again? Oh, that was Garfield with yeah. Bill Murray. Before.
I don't know if
Heathcliff,
they've made it.
High and Lois.
Movie, yeah.
High and Lois, Family Circus.
But
I
mean,
heard.
Is anything good this summer? What do you recommend?
I don't know yet.
Really?
It's all iffy.
Jeez, oh,
it's real iffy.
Because like I said, I went to Bridesmaids at a screening, and I haven't paid to see a summer movie. And I'll probably, despite what we've just talked about, I think I'm going to Hangover 2 this weekend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Thor was perfectly presentable.
Okay, yeah.
Thor was fun.
Did you see Insidious?
I did not see Insidious.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Okay, so
Big Money Hustlers. Now that's
wow.
Big Money Rustlers.
No, both of them.
Well, both of them.
There's Big a comedy Rustlers. Sequel that works.
Big Money Rustlers.
Big Money Rustlers.
No, that's the same characters in a different setting. That's not a sequel.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's the same characters.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, all right. Let's get out of here, everybody. I mean, I wish.
Wait, what,
I,
let's quick. Let's touch on every single thing you have on your list.
We have already.
We have. What's the
we
first
have.
One?
Oprah Winfrey.
What's second?
Dead Macho Man.
Okay. John Convention.
John's
scene.
Convention Stories.
What else?
Bridesmaids, The Hangover, 3D TV, which we talked about it in
right.
a roundabout way, and The Office finale. Those are the topics.
Ray Harryhausen movies from the 70s.
Here we go.
Get up.
All right, I think we're going to go out with this.
The great John Tenney, everybody, of Realm of the Weird.
Realm of the Weird. Look for that podcast. Look,
what's your website again, John?
Realmoftheweird.com and weirdlectures.com.
All right.
All right, Weird Lectures, and John's coming to
wow,
see
you. Wow, Joel Radio. Ooh, yeah.
That's you see, you had two Slim Jims. Now you talk
I'm
like
gonna
that.
I'm going to get inside your head, Joel.
See, I'm going left and you're going right.
And Corey's going out the front door and I'm going into your head with telepathy. And I'm no more questions.
Can I ask you one more question?
And,
questions.
Look for John's show sometime.
Yeah.
Coming soon to television.
Paranormal State, the new class.
Yeah,
coming
I'll be,
soon.
I'll be showing episodes in my backyard.
To A&E.
Come on by.
TV. Come on by. I'm always there.
Well, we'll let everyone know when that hits the airwaves.
The ghost went
that.
Right and I
you
left.
You might be good summer programming.
Yeah, maybe.
Fill-in programming.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. Anyway.
Congratulations. The great John Tenney, everybody.
All right, we're out of here, guys. Thank you for listening. Good night.